all morning long on the Kevin and Bean Show to join the Vans Warped Tour. We'll give you all the details coming up. First, though, Ralph's got our very first look at showbiz news for the day. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, Bean on tape. You folks listen to the best of Kevin and Bean. We'll get back to that in just a few minutes, but I like to bring you all the latest and greatest in showbiz news while the boys are on vacation. And so, on with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What the hell happens here overnight at the station, by the way? This whole side of the studio is covered with a white, sticky substance all over the formica.
I mean, come on.
I'm not
on.
Kidding. I just put my hand in something. I have no idea what it is, but I had to pry my hand off the formica countertop here.
You're right. It is white.
What the hell's going on?
It is sticky.
Always worries me because I know Jed uses this studio. So.
And he didn't have pants on yesterday.
See? There you go. Jed, what did you do over here? What happened, Jed? Yeah, what did you do over here to this side of the studio?
It's one of 6.7 Caracute. Decided to give myself a facial with cremated cucumber and sour cream to exfoliate my pores and keep my skin tight, Caracute.
All right, well, that's better than I guessed. Yes, Paris Hilton is out of jail. It happened early this morning. A smiling Paris Hilton walked out of the Los Angeles County Jail, officially ending the bizarre three-week lunacy that's been going on in this world. And it's not over yet, folks. Of course, every local station here in Los Angeles covered the release live. So if you were up a little after midnight, you probably saw her walk out. She was greeted by her mom and dad in an SUV, and they spirited her away. Of course, we'll get all the details tomorrow night on Larry King, where she does her first post-jail interview. What could she possibly have to say that would be of any interest to anyone? I have no idea, but the ordeal is over.
If she got raped, that would be interesting.
That would be, but she probably wouldn't talk about it.
No.
A huge crowd of fans was outside Lynwood, California's facility there. And, of course, paparazzi and press were everywhere. And she was just smiling and waving the camera like she was on the red carpet. Not a care in the world.
God damn it.
God damn it indeed. Well, at least that's over, right? We don't have to hear from her anymore, right?
I'm sure this is the last we'll ever hear about it. It ends today.
I love celebrities throwing up from drinking too much. The New York Daily News reports that while at the opening of his new restaurant last week, Danny DeVito was seen throwing up in the bathroom by the end of the evening.
I just threw up.
You know, he's got a reputation of tipping back a few cocktails now and then.
Danny has a taste for the liquor.
He does. And friends, well, not friends, but partygoers say that he was a mess by 10 o'clock p.m. And by the end of the evening, he was hurling. However, some invited guests say it was probably the heat because it was hot in New York that evening and the food. Well, you're doing a hell of a favor for Danny DeVito, by the way, as he opens his new restaurant, saying that the food made the owner of the restaurant vomit. You might want to go with the booze story. It's better that way.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Britney Spears is ticked off at her mother, Lynn. Apparently, Britney's still angry at mom for sticking her into rehab. And now she's plotting her revenge. According to insiders, Britney has enlisted a legal team to try to get a restraining order against her mother, who she is now claiming is addicted to painkillers herself.
Oh, this is sad.
Yeah. Apparently, the restraining order that's rumored to be drafted would forbid Lynn from seeing her two grandchildren, Jaden and Sean Preston, as well. So Britney's coming at her with both barrels. And Scarlett Johansson may be one of the hottest singles in Hollywood, but she could be dangerous to date.
Really?
Scarlett tells Bliss magazine that she travels all the time for a career, so it's not easy for her to have one boyfriend. And has also confessed that she finds monogamy challenging. Let me translate that for you. She likes to travel around the country, just bang whoever she wants to.
And that's supposed to make her less attractive?
Well, if you want to be a steady boyfriend to her, I guess you wouldn't like that, but I'm all for it.
If I get a chance to take a cut at Scarlett Johansson, I don't really care if she's doing Bukkake films on the side.
That's my kind of girl right there. You know, stars are just like us, Psycho Mike.
What?
Us Weekly reports that Rachel Ray's luggage was lost on a flight from New York City to Los Angeles, and she had to wait 45 minutes before the airline found it for her.
Oh, ridiculous.
Apparently, it was Omar who pulled it off the carousel and was bukkakeing it. That's what he did. Because he hates him, so Rachel Ray, for some reason. Cannot get enough of him. Television talk. Jimmy Kimmel's going to be back on his show tonight, less than a week after having his emergency appendectomy. Jimmy told People magazine yesterday, "I feel much better now, and I'm delighted to announce that Brad and Angelina have chosen to adopt my appendix and give it a loving home." So, it's good to know it'll be taken care of. And have you seen the commercials for the Singing Bee?
No.
The Singing Bee is a new reality show that's going to be on NBC, reality/game show, where contestants need to sing along with a song, and then they drop the song out underneath them, and they need to continue singing the lyrics to show that they know what the lyrics
are. Ooh, that's tough.
Yeah. It's tough. However, I doubt it'll make interesting television. It starts on July 10th. The host has just been announced. Daily Variety newspaper says that Joey Fatone is going to be the
host. He's a homo.
Yeah. To make it even less watchable. Hey, all you aspiring actors out there, how badly do you want to be in the next Harry Potter film? Well, auditions for several roles in the latest of the series, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, are happening this Sunday, July 1st, and the following Sunday, July 8th. Unfortunately for you, they're happening in London, England.
Oh.
So if you want to really show your commitment to your craft, you'll fly to London.
I was just about to ask, do you think I need to go down there with a microphone?
Yes, I think you need to go to London with a microphone. Roles that are up for grabs are Lavender Brown, Ron Weasley's girlfriend, and young Tom Riddle, who eventually becomes Voldemort, is also up for grabs. So if you want to fly to England, take your chances.
Lavender Brown sounds like a female blaxploitation, like
yes,
cop,
does.
You know?
They should not have messed with Lavender Brown.
Free sugar.
And lastly, if you're a Sir Paul McCartney fan, why? But more importantly, if you'd like to see him perform, he'll be performing tomorrow inside the Amoeba Record Store in Sunset Boulevard. Apparently, the Beatle has been throwing up surprise concerts all over the world to promote his new album. He's had a similar show in London, another one in New York City. There's no specific details on the L.A. gig. Usually it's an invitation-only type of event, but word is he is allowing some fans in, too. So if you're a Paul McCartney fan and you just can't get enough of this song...
Everybody gonna dance tonight. Everybody gonna feel all right. Everybody gonna dance around tonight.
Well, then rush down to Sunset tomorrow night at 7:30 and see if you can get in to hear it live.
Rush is gonna be there?
Oh, stop it. Because I bet live it's really, really good.
Rips that mandolin apart.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Mick Jones of The Clash turns 52 years old today. Writer-director Paul Thomas Anderson from Magnolia and Boogie Nights, he's 37. Also 37 is Chris O'Donnell, who, of course, was Robin in Batman and Robin with George Clooney, many other feature films. And one of my favorite actors and a friend of the show, Jason Schwartzman,
yes,
celebrates his 27th birthday today. If you've never seen Rushmore, shame on you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
From time to time, we like to get some, kind of a check on how normal are you.
We're able to talk about the odd things that you love, because Ralph was talking to us a couple of days ago about how much he loves hummingbirds,
yep,
and his wife can't understand it.
No one can.
Ralph really can't even explain it.
Nope.
So whenever there's a hummingbird around, he's transfixed.
He just... I'm like a cat with catnip. And here's the thing. I don't obsess about hummingbirds. I don't have a big hummingbird collection at home. I don't have little stuffed hummingbirds
yet
on my shelf. I don't care about hummingbirds. I go through my life every day without thinking of hummingbirds.
Right.
The minute I see a hummingbird, forget it. I'm goner.
Everything else is gone.
Everything else is meaningless to me. I will
family
stare and watch a hummingbird do his thing for as long as he's willing to do it.
Your mom could be standing next to you and say, your dad just had a heart attack.
I'm on fire. Ralph, I'm on fire. Can I have that bucket of water you're holding? Leave me alone. I'm watching the hummingbirds. That's what I would say to her.
But in your defense, Ralph, to completely understand what's going on here, their wings move really fast.
That is true.
And, you know, I'm lucky enough. I've got banana trees in my home.
Banana trees?
I know.
Okay.
And they have a uniquely fragrant giant blossom.
Right.
And these hummingbirds love the crap out of these flowers.
So you just sit outside and watch hummingbirds all day?
And they just fly around and they go, you hear that hum?
Yeah.
Right.
Hence the name, hummingbird.
Right.
But they also make a sound. They also have like a little call.
They do?
Yeah.
And does somebody else repeat it?
And they talk to each other, and then sometimes they're perched. I'd never seen them perch until I had these trees.
What do you mean perch? Just
they'll stop.
Oh, stop. They stop.
I've never seen a hummingbird sit someplace before. And they're beautiful. They look like little emeralds and rubies. They're luminescent.
What the hell's wrong with you?
And they're fascinating birds. I love them so much.
Now, do you love any other birds?
I mean, no, I couldn't give a crap about any bird.
You're not a bird lover.
Birds blow, in my opinion.
Really?
But the hummingbird is magical.
For some reason.
I think it has magical powers, the hummingbird.
Is that right?
And, you know, it doesn't even have a beak. It's got like a tube. It's got like a straw for a beak.
Yeah, I don't
care. It's a long, hollow beak, and they just suck the nectar out of flowers.
Now you're talking out your ass.
It's fascinating.
Have any interest.
It's a creature like from another dimension or something, from a mythical planet. It's like a unicorn. It shouldn't even be on our planet. It doesn't make any sense. It's amazing.
It's like like a platypus. You just look at it and go, well, there's no way that's real, right? It's just it's too cool. Do you still live on that banana plantation, Costa Rica, and fly in every morning?
Yes.
Bizarre. Yes, that's where I live, in the banana plantation.
So we started to talk about Ralph and his love for hummingbirds. And then, of course, you know, let's be honest. Anybody's listened to the show for any amount of time, you know, Bean is the poster child for odd loves.
Yeah. See, that's the problem, is that I feel myself sort of now connected in the same sentence as Bean, which troubles me.
Bean loves 7-Eleven, and most of us just stop there if we need something.
Sure.
Let's say you really want a Coke, or you really are starving, you want a candy bar or something. You have to have something on your way to your location. You'll stop off at a 7-Eleven only if you have to. He for the longest time would not pick an apartment if it wasn't within walking distance of a 7-Eleven.
I do enjoy having the convenience of the convenience store, but I mean, think about it. 7-Eleven has 100,000 items in it, all of which are inexpensive, most of which are delicious. I mean, how do you, and it's open 24 hours a day. How can there be anything better than a 7-Eleven?
I almost never go to a 7-Eleven.
Not if I can help
what
it.
What do I need there?
That's the point. That's the point. Everybody else, like I say, stops if they have to. Same thing with the post office. Nobody wants to go to the post office.
If I go to the post office twice a year, that's too
You're miserable,
much.
Too.
Yes.
You go there when you absolutely have no other option.
Yes.
That's when you go to the post office. Bean,
you guys are
thrilled to go to the post office every day.
See, I think Bean shouldn't even be introduced into this conversation, because I think we'd rather talk about regular, normal human beings.
That's a good point.
That get caught up almost, as a surprise to them by some one fascinating factor they can't really explain away.
It's not that their whole being is wrapped up in these kind of stuff like Bean.
They don't seek it out.
Okay. Like Bean does. I love touch lamps.
See, that's an example. Perfectly normal human being has a fascination with touch lamps.
I love those lamps where you just touch them and they go on.
Because
they're awesome.
She gets a rare kind of joy out of touch lamps.
I do. I'm like filled with glee every time I do it and it works. They're just so fun.
I'll tell you, sometimes it can take you a half hour, 45 minutes to turn that lamp off if you don't have a touch lamp.
You got to get the right tool.
It's
right?
Magical.
Why don't you get the clapper or whatever that is? You don't even
have
to touch.
That's annoying.
Oh, that's annoying.
Touch lamp is silent.
Steve, hi.
Hey, good morning, party people.
Hi, Steve.
Odd things you love. What are you obsessed with?
Man, I don't even know why, but I'm 30 years old, and ever since I was in high school, I had a fascination to collect anything and everything with a picture of Fidel Castro.
Fidel Castro?
I don't even affiliate with the Communist Party.
Are you a pink commie bastard?
No, not at all.
Do you like the idea that he's a dictator and can do anything he wants? What is it that you like about him?
I don't think he can do anything he wants. It's more of his style, the way he carries himself, and the thing that he did with the revolution.
What attracted you to him in high school, though? Because when I was in high school, I was throwing rocks at my neighbor Robbie Joyner. I wasn't thinking about foreign leaders.
I don't know. My friend, he gave me one of his books, and ever since then, I started collecting stamps, old Time magazines, Life magazines.
Interesting.
Wow. T-shirts. How sad are you? He may be, on death's door now.
He's pretty much dying.
Well, all I know is that if he dies pretty soon, all the things that I have are going to go up in value.
That's true. Interesting. Smart. Are you going to start following his brother or whoever is the president now?
No, it's just Fidel Castro himself.
Fidel or die.
He's not down with Raul.
All right, Steve, keep that to yourself. Thanks for calling.
By the way, Steve probably saw this, but the funniest story yesterday is, Hugo Chavez, who's that crazy Venezuelan president?
Oh, yeah.
He was giving a speech yesterday, and somehow Fidel Castro came up, and he said, oh, I talk to him all the time. He's up. He's walking. In fact, he's almost jogging. He's almost jogging. Everybody else is saying he's like 30 minutes from death.
Which he probably is. Caitlin in Redlands, good morning.
Hi. I have this weird obsession with spoons.
Spoons?
Yes.
Regular spoons?
Yes, just like any metal spoon. And really because, you can eat ice cream, and ice cream is, my favorite food.
Me too, but I'm not...
You there.
Listen, ice cream, they always say if you're on an island and you could have one food, for me it's ice cream. There's hands down, no question.
They have refrigeration on your island?
It would melt, Kevin.
And I eat ice cream, with spoons, but I've not... That love has not transferred from me to the spoon.
Well, they're shiny, and you can look at them, and you look funny, and you can lick them and stick them on your nose.
No, that's true. You can't do that with Fidel Castro.
Caitlin, are you retarded?
No.
No. Okay.
Do you like the band Spoon?
Yes.
Okay, are you obsessed with any other type of thing like that, or is that just a one-off?
A spork, kind of.
A spork. Well, sure, that's kind of a spork.
It's in the family,
wonder,
the spoon family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That makes sense.
Thank you for
it's
the
pure.
Call.
Her love is pure.
She can look at it. She can look at it, and it makes her look funny.
What about Jeannie in Sherman Oaks, while we're talking about odd items around the house? How does this become your object of affection?
Jeannie?
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Odd love.
I
what?
Have no idea. I love broken sprinklers.
Okay, sprinklers now you're that just, don't work.
Sprinklers that don't work, they just shoot up in the air.
Oh, so you like...
Oh, sprinklers that are like geysers.
You must like you like water then.
Yes, I do.
Broken sprinklers.
They're like fountains.
So if
the bigger the better.
So if they come up and they spray, you know, like a nice pattern regularly, you don't like those at all because they're not broken.
Even the little ones, they're just amazing to me.
They're amazing to you.
They're really amazing.
What's amazing about them?
How do they work?
It's magic.
Kevin, the water comes out of the hose, and then it goes off in a bunch of different directions when you attach a sprinkler to it. You don't get it.
Do you love a lot of weird things, or is this just one thing that you can't figure out why?
This is basically the one thing I can't figure out.
Wow.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you, Jeannie.
Tell no one. Cool. Thank you for calling.
Let's try Sylvia in Artesia. Now, I've heard of people who are obsessed with the bubble wrap. They love the bubble wrap.
Yeah.
They can't get enough of popping the bubble wrap. But Sylvia is even a little odder than that.
Sylvia, hi.
Good morning.
What are you obsessed with? What do you love?
I like clear cellophane paper that you wrap like gift baskets in, but the one that turns iridescent when you crinkle it. So you see like the purple and the green and the pink and
right.
So it's the gift cellophane. It's not you're not talking about like Saran wrap. That doesn't do anything for you. It has to be the fancy stuff.
Not Saran wrap. No, it has to be the stuff that has like the crinkle sound when you crumple it. Like I'll take it with me. I have a roll in the back of my car. And I take it with me, and if people are, like, feeling down, I kind of give them a piece. And even if just,
what?
Like...
Okay, wait. I got to stop you there. So let's say you're in the car with somebody who's, quote, kind of down.
Okay.
And you hand them a piece of cellophane paper.
The kind that changes colors, Kevin.
Right. Oh, I have to pull over and get it out of my trunk, but yeah.
Okay, of course. Does that, in all cases, cheer them up?
Most of the time it will.
Or do they get out of the car and say, you are out of your mind,
and they
I'll
beat
hitchhike.
You with the roll of paper.
No, most of the time it'll cheer them up just because it's like so strange to them that it's like... Because
it's absurd.
The greatest thing. I don't know. I love it. And I'm pretty normal other than that, I think.
Well, I like this idea, and I think I want a roll.
Well, ladies, how about giving a handy once in a while to cheer people up rather than clear cellophane paper,
oh,
all right?
You don't understand.
I'm just saying.
He understands guys. And if you're trying to cheer them up, cellophane paper, not exactly the way to go. Thank you for the call.
Sylvia. Do we have time for Richard? Because I've never heard of such a crazy thing as this one.
Yeah.
Richard, good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, good. Richard.
Thanks.
Yeah, I love the smell of skunk.
Skunks?
Oh, it's the worst smell ever.
Have you ever been driving down the road and
of course.
Says, oh, you know, a skunk got hit and you could smell it?
Of course.
Yes.
I have to roll down the window.
So that you could smell it more?
Yeah. Oh, man, it grosses my girlfriend out.
If you could get sprayed by a skunk, would you be happy?
I don't know so much getting sprayed.
Yeah, you'd throw up.
Out the window when you could smell it. It smells so good.
Oh, my God.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's just a sweet scent.
No. No, it's not really.
It's like one of the worst.
Yeah. I met one other person like that. And
are you attracted to the smell of throw up?
No,
that's just
gross.
Checking. Oh, that's gross.
Yeah,
okay.
That's gross.
Just checking.
And the skunk smell, I mean, if you ride right through it, I mean, it lingers, too. I mean, you still smell in the car for a while.
Yeah.
You have got to be so happy. You should be trying to hit skunks when you're out in the car.
Yeah, you could turn on the heater, but no, just the smell of skunks is just, for some reason, I really like it.
Okay.
Well, let's mark the date today that now officially we've heard everything.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Let's say good morning to Adam, who answers the phones here at K-Rock. Good morning, Adam.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you. Say that again for us, please. Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Okay. I just want you to listen to that voice.
Okay.
Because Adam, who is Jewish
and very white.
Yes. Has done a commercial here on K-Rock that we would like to spotlight for just a second.
Oh, boy.
To say it's not good is an understatement, but it's spectacular. Now, we love Adam, and we love Rockin' Taco.
Okay.
Great client, not the best of commercials. The problem is that here in Southern California,
it's hard to find people who speak Espanol. You know what I mean? Because there's no one here like that.
Yeah, like hen's teeth. Find someone who, with a working knowledge of Spanish. Yeah, of course, that's nearly impossible in this town.
So I'd like to play for you now, Rockin' Taco.
Entertain me, you say? Hold on to your sombrero, amigo. They don't call us Rockin' Taco Cantina for nada.
Okay, hold on a second.
All right.
Hold on a second.
Come on, they don't call it that for nada.
It's worse than you remember, isn't it, Adam?
That's rough to hear.
What did you do? Did you watch Scarface 200 times in a row before you went to the recording booth?
No, you know, I have a huge Hispanic complex, guys.
Adam, why
what
did
does
they,
that mean?
I don't know. Why did they come to you and say, we need a Hispanic voice? Because you're a white Jewish guy that's not very Hispanic.
Got a few Hispanic guys working here. A few.
Yeah, you know, I have absolutely no idea.
They don't call us that for nada. Okay, now we continue.
Our bartender's got all the moves. Get a load of this.
Okay, what?
Okay, now you're just insulting.
Who says get a load of this? I mean, really? Who says that?
Oh, wow. You know, I don't know. I took it straight from Super Steve.
Get a load of this.
No, Super Steve never said that.
What about Super Steve? How about him maybe is the guy who ought to be reading the commercial? That's a guy who actually is Mexican. What about him?
What about
I don't know. You're gonna have to talk with the production department about that.
But didn't you say, I don't do that voice?
Yeah.
What about Psycho Mike, who's half Mexican and does a great Mexican accent? What about that? What about Ralph? What about me? What about Bean? What about Lisa?
I could do better
before
than that.
Adam.
Kinda makes you thirsty, doesn't it? The Rockin' Taco Cantina in Fullerton is a destination where the fun starts the minute you get here.
The fun starts the minute you get here. It's so not Hispanic.
No, not at all. Now when you listen back to it.
No, it's got to be brutal for you to hear.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what are you waiting for, Holmes? Come thirsty, come hungry, and stay for the fun.
Stay for the fun. Come thirsty, stay for the fun.
Come thirsty, come hungry, and stay for the fun. Every Wednesday is Rock of the 80s night, I say.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
I think that's enough.
That's not even my favorite part.
Have you ever used the word essay before in your life?
No, never.
I didn't think so.
And talk about eye candy, ay, ay, ay. At the Rockin' Taco Cantina, our bartender's got the moves.
Ay, ay, ay.
Check out Rockin' Taco Cantina in Fullerton right now online at www.rockintaco.com. The Rockin' Taco Cantina, 111 North Arbor in downtown Fullerton.
Fullerton.
Arbor.
Arbor in Fullerton.
What's an arbor? I wouldn't even get the right street.
That's fantastic. You rule the planet, Adam.
Adam, when you show up at the temple on Saturday, do you say to the old guys in there, you go, ay, ay, ay. Oh, here comes Adam.
But they might kill me after this.
Oh, my God. You should get your Jewish card pulled. I don't know if they can do that, but they should do it.
Yeah. It's gone.
All right, Adam. You've done good work.
Thanks, guys.
Bye now. Wow, is that good. Come on. Great client, great place to eat.
Yeah. I think he should start eating more Mexican food. That might help with the accent. He should spend more time at Rockin' Tacos today.
Entertain me, you say? Hold on to your sombrero, amigo. They don't call us Rockin' Taco Cantina for nada.
Yes.
Good times right there.
Yes.
Do you ever have an idea that you know is right, but nobody else shares your enthusiasm?
Yeah, from time to time. And that's why we usually go to Dr. Drew for the ultimate decision, because he is the smartest man in the world. The reason Kevin is complaining is because he has a bad, bad idea that he's trying to put on. He's trying to infect our show with his bad, bad idea.
I'm going
to
let the listeners
decide. And we're trying to stop him.
Whether it's a bad idea or not. I was listening to Loveline the other night, and I heard a phone call, and I thought it would make a fantastic topic. Not just a good topic, but a great topic. And I'm meeting with nothing but resistance from these communists.
I'm sure it was an interesting phone call on Loveline. It doesn't mean it translates to the morning hours to our show and to our listeners and their experiences.
By the way, I'm bringing back communists. I think that's good. I love that. I missed that. Here's the call with a few judicious beeps from Loveline the other night. And you tell me whether this is the best damn topic ever.
I have an issue with giving I feel like I can only have an orgasm doing that.
Okay.
The only way she can orgasm is by giving oral sex to a guy. How's that not the best topic ever?
What, you want to talk to women who have this problem?
Yes.
Yeah, because there's a million of them out there.
Here's
what are you, fantasy boy?
Yes.
You just spontaneously have that.
Wow.
Yes.
How long does that take you?
When he's starting to.
You're able to sort of at will do that, huh?
Yeah.
Come
talented.
On.
Yeah.
I just think it's weird that, you know, every other girl is like, I don't even get it.
It's unusual. It's unusual, yeah. But that's you. It's all right. It's not going to, doesn't mean anything's wrong or, you know, not going to cause you problems.
Nothing wrong. Are you kidding me? It's the best thing ever. She should get a medal.
Listen to how excited Stryker is, by the way. You can actually hear his tail getting erect.
Now you guys are against this. You're poo-pooing
Look,
this idea
we
because
went to Ralph.
Because let me just clarify.
All right.
You guys,
because there's nobody out there who has this experience. She's just one
so
like freak.
Lying.
She's just. I'm not saying she's lying. I'm just saying that if it happens to her, it's something that's going on in her head. It's not like there's a line of women out there who share that experiences
and
that could come on.
You know that how, Dr. Bean?
We went to Ralph, who knows about this stuff, and he told you you were high.
I'd like to one-up it and go to Dr. Drew. That's what I'd like to do.
Dr. Drew's on the phone?
Dr. Drew.
All how right.
about that?
Come on, dude.
It's so important for Kevin, I had to get up and get on the phone.
What?
I had no idea you were on the phone, Dr. Drew.
We have like 700 other topics that we should talk to Dr. Drew on, but we don't. seriously, what is wrong with my showmates?
I don't understand quite what the topic is. Is it
the topic is people?
No, no. It's how to render every woman with this talent. Or
no, Kevin.
No, to find the ones that are.
He thinks they should wear like a tattoo or something.
Yes. The only way I can have an orgasm is by giving oral sex.
We'll call them Kevin's girls or something.
Come on.
He thinks we'll get a bank of phone calls from women who say, yeah, I have that problem, too.
I must say, it's awfully rare. I mean, how many years I've been doing love.
Okay, but awfully rare means maybe three or four.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Kevin, you can go out on a quest. I'm sure, you know, the grail is out there for you.
I'm just saying. I didn't know this existed.
This is just your dream because this would be a woman who you wouldn't have to do anything
yeah,
for.
It's
you
the most,
could literally
it's
just
the
not
most,
move a muscle.
It's the most self-centered sex life ever. Yes.
It's one-way sex.
Yes.
You're done, and then she's done. You
yes.
don't have to lift a finger.
And that's
very,
bad?
Very revealing about Kevin.
And that's
it?
Wait a minute. And that's bad how?
I'm just saying. You just don't have to move. It's, you know, I've got
just,
a back problem. It's all right.
I'm just saying she's having a good time, too.
Yes, yes. No, no. I know. Listen, Stryker, Bean was absolutely right. Stryker's tail was wagging like I've never seen.
Kevin, does she normally not have a good time?
No,
Is
no, no.
Problem?
She has the best time ever. No, but I'm just saying, I didn't know that this even existed in one person. Dr. Drew, did you believe her?
I did, and I've heard of this kind of thing, and it's a talent, and make no mistake about it, and particularly the way she was able to kind of time things. You know,
that's
sort of,
what I'm yes. saying.
You know, we've from time to time, Dr. Drew, of course, we can't get into anywhere near the kind of conversation or detail that you do on Loveline because of the time.
Your show, it seems that you do.
Oh, we skirt it. We have to skirt it.
We have to skirt a lot. But I have heard, and I'm sure you've covered this on your show too, that there are women who are hypersensitive in certain situations to orgasms. Like aren't there some women who have an orgasm just by touching their boobs? Right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's true.
Another
yeah.
one called last night, by the way, who when she has to go to the bathroom has an orgasm.
Right. Thank you for listening.
Come on.
And you know, and the fact is that, you know, because women are so diverse genetically, they're all very, very different. And so no two are really quite alike. Men, you know, what makes us males are this tiny bit of chromosome called a Y chromosome. And unfortunately, it's been decaying over millions of years. And it's a very simple bit of genetic material. And it makes us all basically the same.
Right. Have you ever come across, Dr. Drew, a woman who can have an orgasm with her mind just by thinking?
Yeah, yeah. It happens.
Really?
Well,
see,
Kevin,
that's
that
what I'm saying.
Better?
What's
yeah,
that?
I'm saying, wouldn't it be awesome if you could actually have an orgasm just by thinking about it? So you're bored, you're in a meeting, whatever.
No, but see, now you just want that talent.
Yes!
You don't want to know her, you just want to be able to do that.
Of course!
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, listen, I understand your fascination, and it is interesting, but we have been talking about it for several minutes now. Dave has been answering the phones, and so far that one other woman besides the one Dr. Drew talked to has not called in, is not there yet.
Dude, it's like the secret. You're putting out a bad vibe. You're not getting anything back. You know what I'm saying? You have to think positively, talk positively, act positively, and the world will respond to you in kind.
I see. I got you.
You're putting out enough positive for all of us.
Or something. Yeah,
Tell you, Dr. Drew, since he first heard that call on your show a couple of weeks ago, we don't go by one single day without him coming in and screaming at us for not putting it on the air.
Flipping out of my mind.
vagina. Like, how can you guys not be interested in that? Out of all the things you're interested in, we have to talk about the girl who can orgasm by giving oral sex to a guy. That's not interesting. Let's not talk about that.
It's, I mean, it's great on Dr. Drew's show. It just, I don't think it's not like, as Lisa says, not like we got a line of women standing by to talk about it. You know?
I will bring in the emails tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And we will line them up. Dr. Drew, you're doing the Lord's work.
Thank you. Next time I get the call, I'll actually call you.
Please do.
I'll hook you up with her. That's all right.
I'd like a beeper of some kind and just some kind of a notice. All right, Dr. Drew.
Like a transplant.
Yes. Okay. Exactly. Thank you, Dr. Drew. Okay. Bye now.
First, it's time for the Showbiz Beat, and with that, here's Ralph.
It's 6:56 on a Tuesday morning. Kevin and Bean are on vacation. We'll get you back to the best of Kevin and Bean in just a few moments. In the meanwhile, I'm still here in the studio giving you all the latest and greatest in showbiz news, and here it is. If you were watching television a little after midnight, you probably saw her walk out of the Lynwood, California facility where Paris Hilton was jailed. She is out, and I'll tell you, she has never loved the camera more. There were paparazzi surrounding the facility when she came out, and she was smiling and waving to photographers. A bunch of fans, too, were out there chanting her name and cheering her on as she got into the black SUV where her mom and dad waited to spirit her away. I'm sure we'll hear all about the experience tomorrow night in the Larry King Show, but in the meanwhile, at least for the time being, the Paris Hilton tragedy is over.
Were you as disgusted as I was by her demure and sultry walk out of the jail as if she was on a red carpet?
It looked like she was going to the MTV Video Music Awards, I'll tell you. She was just working it, and well, she says she's changed. Time will tell. One celebrity leaves, another one goes inside. Paris is out, but Tom Sizemore is going back in. TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website, has announced that the Black Hawk Down actor has been sentenced to 16 months in prison for probation violations stemming from his 2004 conviction on drug charges. You may remember he was found outside of Sheraton in Bakersfield, just cranked to the gills, just had nothing but meth in his car, and that apparently was a violation of his probation.
Yeah, I think it was you who said, if you're at a Sheraton in Bakersfield, that's automatic.
There's nothing
else
you're doing.
You have drugs by default.
What are you doing? For some kind of cattle convention or something other than that? You're doing drugs. So 16 months in jail. Wonder if he'll get reduced sentence and get the kind treatment that Paris Hilton got.
He's a sick guy.
He needs some help.
Serious help.
Well, the good news is that a judge did recommend a jail near San Diego, which also has a rehab facility, so hopefully Tom will be doing some time in meetings and in therapy as much as he is behind bars, because it doesn't really help you if you're sick and you go away. First of all, it's almost easier to get drugs in prison than it is outside.
Yeah, especially in California, man.
And secondly, if you've got a problem like that, you do need treatment. You can't just be put behind bars and hope that it goes away. So maybe he'll get some treatment. Speaking of people who need treatment, Britney Spears is still ticked off at her mom for sticking her in rehab. So now, apparently, Britney is plotting her revenge. According to insiders, she has enlisted legal aid to try to get a restraining order against her mom. Britney says she thinks her mom is addicted to painkillers herself, and she needs rehab. Oh, yeah? Maybe you do. Maybe you need rehab. No, you. Apparently, the restraining order will also forbid Lynn from seeing her two grandchildren, Jaden and Sean Preston. So.
Oy.
Probably the only normal influence those kids will have are their grandparents. And,
it's pathetic. It's like a family war in a Shakespearean play, except they're all portrayed by like drooling redneck retards.
Shakespearean, yeah. It's one phrase I would not use to describe the Britney Spears family.
No, she's refined.
Jimmy Kimmel's back on his show tonight, less than a week after having his emergency appendectomy. It was performed last Wednesday, and Jimmy told People magazine, "I feel much better now. I'm delighted to announce that Brad and Angelina may choose to adopt my appendix and give it a loving home." So, Jimmy back on the show tonight. I'm sure he'll be very funny talking about that. Speaking of talk shows, Larry King tonight's going to have the remaining Beatles. How many left? Like 8, 9 Beatles are left?
I think so.
Yeah. They're talking about the anniversary of that Love show there in Vegas where Cirque du Soleil has been performing to Beatles music. So if you're a Beatles fan, you might want to check that out. And for all you NSYNC fans, you'll be happy to know that Joey Fat One has a new job. Daily Variety tells us that he was signed on to be the host of NBC's new reality game show, The Singing Bee, where contestants have to sing along with a song, and then the song drops out, and they must continue singing the lyrics to prove that they know them.
That's zany.
Maybe that's a party game. Maybe, if you're drunk.
and it's the end of the night and you got nothing left. Maybe that's something you do at a party for laughs. But now it's a TV show.
Twister's fun at a party. Doesn't mean it's going to make good TV.
That's what I'm telling you. Just remember National Bingo Night, people. Today's celebrity birthdays. Musician Mick Jones of The Clash is 52 years old today. Writer-director Paul Thomas Anderson, Magnolia, Boogie Nights, among his films, 37 years old today. Actor Chris O'Donnell's also 37. And our good friend, very talented and funny actor, Jason Schwartzman, celebrates his 27th birthday today. Want to wish him a happy birthday. Speaking of actors, in a couple hours, we'll have a special edition of the Showbiz Beat, where I'll be having a live interview with the star of Transformers, which opens on July 3rd, Shia LaBeouf. Of course, he was also in Disturbia, and he's currently filming the new Indiana Jones 4 movie. So there's a lot to talk to that young man about. Yeah. So stick around in a couple hours when I'll be having an interview with Shia LaBeouf. Rob Garman, I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Kevin, why can't you just admit that pirates rule and ninjas drool? You're Kevin Bean. Hey, what the hell is wrong with Kevin? Everybody knows that pirates are so much better than ninjas.
Woo!
Exactly, Kelly. Gay. Thank you for the email. That's what I'm talking
Gay.
About.
This is wrong on every level.
Gay.
How did this start bubbling under to the point where now it's turned into civil war here at K-Rock?
Well, you guys are so taken with pirates. And Talk Like a Pirate Day, I take vacation every year.
Sharon, you do.
But
you
then you guys started talking about who would win in a fight between the two. And it's not even a question who would win in a fight between
Absolutely,
the two.
Absolutely, you're right.
Because ninjas could take out like 300 per person.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Freaking pirates are drunk and they're wandering around.
Is that in the ninja
around.
Book? Did you look up that number? 300 per person? Is that the average?
Did you see Batman Begins? Did you see that? He receives the ninja training, and then he just destroys all of those people. The people that trained him, he destroyed. And burned the place to the ground.
Boom!
It's because he was white. It's because he was white.
What?
Because he was a ninja.
Interesting you should mention that, Kevin, because I recall Kill Bill Volume 2, there were 88 ninjas. They got all of them were taken out by a girl. I don't know if you remember
those
that or not.
That was
a
just...
supermodel in a jumpsuit took out all the ninjas.
That was just a movie.
She was the only ninja. She was the only real ninja in the room.
All right, you need to shut up.
No, that's
bit.
True.
All the other guys were wannabes. She was the ninja.
She was the ninja.
She went to train with
right.
the dude on the mountain,
That's
dude.
Right.
All
they
right.
didn't.
All right.
Okay, stop for a second. I think we do have somebody with a little more experience on the topic. We're going to welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show for the first time, Roy Hembree. He is the guy who runs piratesversusninjas.net. Now, if anyone should know, it should be our friend Roy. Good morning, Roy. Welcome to K-Rock.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi, Roy.
How long have you been running your site, sir?
Since November 2005.
Oh, not too long. Okay, why'd you start it?
I was sitting around one day, and I was thinking to myself, you know, my job kind of sucks, and I want to do something different with my life, and I can do some graphic design, so I opened the site as a vehicle to actually sell T-shirts, and once I got it up, I realized, you know, somebody's got to centralize all the pirates and ninjas information, because there's a lot here, and it's really fun, so that's why I took it the direction I did.
Now, when you say there's a lot here, people would be shocked with a little Googling how much is out there about pirates and ninjas, right?
About 200,000 hits if you go to Google.
How did this battle start between pirates and ninjas?
The ridiculous notion that pirates could beat ninjas, that's how.
Made people crazy.
It's so incredibly stupid.
It back to 1969.
According to my research, that's the furthest I can trace it back, was to 1969. The ARPANET it's the predecessor of the Internet. It connected four universities, and somebody from UCLA sent a message to the University of Utah with that question. And to the best of my knowledge, that's the first message sent across the ARPANET. And it grew from there.
It's good to see the Internet being used
pirates
for something
versus ninjas.
As important.
I saw that, and I thought that was a joke.
Absolutely
true.
Absolutely
Roy, true. Among the visitors to your sites, is there a preference between pirates and ninjas?
Well, I've put it up on the site. I have a place where people can vote. They can write in and say, you know, why they think ninjas would win or pirates would win.
Right.
And ninjas are winning by about 60% to 30%.
Yeah, no question about that.
Yeah, the ninja fans, it's also interesting. The ninja fans base a lot of their information on fact. You know, ninjas were stealthy. They were trained. They were assassins.
You never knew where they were. They could be right next to you. You wouldn't even know it. Boom, your head's gone.
You wouldn't right know it.
And
right
they're
now.
Gone. They're climbing up a straight wall because they have those skills.
Kevin, you
Gravity
wouldn't know
means
it.
Nothing
Kevin,
to them.
Kevin, you wouldn't know it, but somebody else might.
No one knows it. Yeah. Stealth,
They couldn't
Ralph.
Even beat the samurai, man.
Stealth.
They couldn't even beat the samurai.
Oh,
what?
Please.
It does seem like the pirates, though, are living the life. There's lots of drinking. There's
no
lots
question.
Of women. There's lots of stealing.
We're not food. We're not saying which would you rather be. I'd rather drink. But the ninjas would kill
But I mean, like I opened up my newspaper just yesterday. There was a story of yet another ship just off the coast of India that was boarded by pirates, and all 25 crew members were taken hostage, and they stole
they
everything
don't
on
know
the boat.
That they were pirates. They just made that up.
They were pirates. That's
by
what
act
they
of
do.
What they did. They were pirating.
They went out onto the open sea and they kidnapped people and stole everything
and
on their boat.
And what do they do on land? The only place they could be pirates is in the ocean on a boat. That's lame as hell.
I'm just saying, what
ninjas
was the last
can
time?
Go anywhere.
And what
you
was the last thing you heard?
They would get off the boat and they would pillage seaside villages. They would burn in the ground, take
not,
their women and all their money.
Not where ninjas were. They never went where ninjas were.
That's right, because
they
ninjas,
knew better.
Ninjas
one
were
ninja.
Too afraid to come to Europe. No. They had to stay there in little Asia.
One listen, ninja could take fair. Out all the pirates. Oh,
what you guys don't one. Know is that ninjas live the life, too. They're up there partying, banging hoes. You just don't know about it because they keep it stealth like a real player does. They don't need to go around promoting it. Like, look at me. Arr, I'm banging chicks. I drink.
No, Mike, every time you say something about ninjas, like, but you don't know about it because no one knows about it. So you can't just keep saying, well, they do all this stuff, but no one knows about it.
In the conversation we've been having, a ninja just killed like 15 guys in Da Nang. You don't even know.
That's rule number
you
one,
don't
Ralph.
Even know.
How do you know all this stuff if nobody knows about it?
Ninja code, dude. And I can't talk more about it. I'm sorry.
But you're talking about it now, so they're going to kill you.
My lips are sealed from here on out.
Hey, Mike. Mike, I'm batting 600 for the Seattle Mariners this season, but nobody knows about it because it's a secret.
Because
it's stealth.
Ass.
Pirates are just assholes on boats.
Well, right. You can't deny that sort of scientific evidence.
I think I've distilled it.
I think you've distilled it well.
Ninjas okay. wear ballet shoes. Fans.
Excellent
so
point.
They can be
that's why you don't hear them when they cut your head off.
I don't hear ballet dancers either, Kevin, but I'm not afraid
but they're
of
not
them.
Cutting your head off.
Oh, I'm wearing slippers and high heels. How are you?
At hey, least let me ask both you. Their legs.
Thank you. You got to be able to drink and have one leg to be a pirate.
Yeah, you know what, Lisa?
You're
if, I had a peg leg, if I had a peg leg right now, I wouldn't be able to get you off me.
Essentially, anybody with a lack of morals can become a pirate.
That's
all
right.
I got to do is get on a ship and steal stuff.
Yes.
There's only a handful of true ninjas for that reason. It takes the ultimate in self-control, discipline.
I have one question for you, Kevin, before we go to the phones.
Yes.
And that is, would you rather be a pirate wearing an eye patch or a ninja wearing a headband? All right, how about that?
Yeah. Hey, Mike Reno from Loverboy, why don't you go kick some ass now?
I would choose the group that drinks, but...
And wenches and gambles and swaggers
but...
and wears cutlasses and sidearms.
It has a talk like a pirate day.
But...
Why the F is talk like a ninja day?
Every
right?
day in Japan is talk like a ninja day.
If it were a fight, I would choose a ninja in a second because they could destroy pirates.
Can they stop bullets and cannonballs?
They don't need to because you don't even know they're there and your head is gone, right? You're missing the stealth.
Are you
part of ninjas.
Up this? You don't know they're
they
there.
They can fly. There's no gravity.
Oh,
that means nothing
they can
to them.
Fly.
Let me ask
I didn't
you
know
this.
They could fly.
Let me ask you this,
because they're fantasy figures now. Now they're fairies. They live in a magical ninja land.
Let me get real with you, Mr. I Love Sex. Would you rather bang a scurvy-ridden, toothless pirate whore or some hot geishas pow-dow?
Okay.
Those are my only two choices?
Yes.
Pow-dow.
That's
his answer. All right. Let's go to the phones. Allison and Covina. Hi.
Hi, Kevin Bean and Lisa May. I just wanted to say that I wanted to give you the top three reasons why pirates rule.
Thank you. Okay.
Booze, bling, and bitches.
Word.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, but are we talking about a fight or are we not talking about a fight?
Look, the happier the fighter is, the more successful he is.
Who would you rather hang out with? Pirates, for sure.
Until a fight breaks out and they get their heads chopped off, yes.
I don't know. I think there are a lot more pirates than there are ninjas, though.
So ninjas can walk on water now, too? Can they walk on water and walk out to the boat?
There may be more pirates than ninjas. It doesn't matter. What? I'll put one ninja against all pirates.
How do they get to the boat, Kevin?
Oh,
I
don't
know.
Does the boat ever dock? How do pirates get on the boat?
Are they stealth swimmers, too?
Yes, no.
They don't make any ripples in the water
because
they're magical?
I didn't realize that pirates were able to do that without docking. What kind of a stupid question is that?
They're at sea most of the time.
Well, yeah,
they have to dock somewhere.
And when you come to land, you get served.
What's wrong with you?
And so all the ninjas that in Spain and England, they're going to get on the boat?
Dude, you see the pirate next to you, you don't even know he's a ninja. He's undercover.
Oh, now they're masters of disguise,
yes,
too.
They are masters of disguise. That's very true. They might look like a priest. They may look like a policeman. You never know what they
are. Where
are
you getting these facts from?
Oh, Ralph, you don't do any research.
Where is your research? Where did you get these facts?
You're so glib.
Where did you get these facts?
Ninja Handbook.
Did you rent American Ninja 3 last night or something? Is that what you did?
Maybe. Jesse in La Puente. Good morning.
Yeah, definitely vote for pirates, man.
Because?
Oh, dude, they can blow the ninjas up from the water. They got cannons.
Right, if they knew where the ninjas were, do you people not listen?
They would just bomb Chinatown or wherever the F they live and just level it, man.
Yeah,
it's hard to be stealthy when giant
Chinatown.
Boulders are falling on you and the building comes down around you.
As long as they are right along the coast where the pirates can get to them, they don't have to go inland anywhere.
They're not smart. They're stealthy, but they're not smart.
Dustin in Moreno Valley, good morning.
Hey, I totally vote for ninjas because I'm a ninja myself. And
yes,
when we were,
I'm a ninja.
When we received our training, we were informed that our training was far superior to pirate training.
Of course it is. Ninjas spend their whole lives
Are
training.
Are you a ninja CPA? Do you do the ninja taxes?
I don't know that this guy's a ninja.
Oh, he is. No, you're all ninjas. Oh, all ninja. Guys.
They train
hey guys,
for a lifetime.
All ninjas are named Dustin. Everybody knows that.
I want to know what kind of a
ninja. They said our training was better.
Ninjas could even sound like that dork.
What kind of real ninja school do you go to where they actually tell you, hey, our training's way better than those pirates?
Forget that pirate school down the street. Here at Al's Ninjas, we're going to fix you up right.
See, we're talking about real ninjas, though, Ralph, for God's sake.
Here's your complimentary nunchucks.
Luca. And by the way, that brings me to the things that they use to fight with. They got those stars, those death stars. They throw and hit you right in the neck.
Yeah.
They got nunchucks. They got everything. What do pirates have? Pirates have a gun.
Oh, that lousy gun. That doesn't work for anybody
ever. As long as
ever.
A ninja says, hey, I'm a ninja, shoot me, then they're fine.
How about a cutlass? How about a dagger? How about a throwing knife? How about TNT?
Oh, they're so
How
drunk
cannons?
They can't hit anything with that. They got to shoot 15 times to hit anything.
How about the
anything?
Hook at the end of my hand? I'll cut your throat out with it.
Luca at Anaheim, hi.
Popo's out, baby. What's up?
Popo's out.
Well, you're right. Going to have to help us. We're having trouble here with this argument today.
Hey, no, man. Pirates all the way, baby. Arrgh, I'll tell you a couple of reasons. One,
please.
Training for a pirate is banging wenches and drinking rum.
Yeah, that's my training.
Two, you put a pirate and a ninja in a room, you give me my musket, you give him a sword, and it's game over, baby. One shot, I'll go back to banging my hose and drinking my rum, baby.
You're insane.
With
Word.
Your
that's
musket?
Right, that's right. I'm a ninja.
Dude, yeah. We would have your head off before you loaded your
exactly.
stupid musket.
Exactly.
Oh,
thank
for God's
you,
sakes.
Lisa. Thank you. But by the way, you have to start by putting them in a little room together and give one of them a gun for the pirate to win.
Pirate always has guns. It does suck to make it a real-life situation to see whether what would happen, right?
You give me any pirate and put Bruce Lee up against him, and who do you think's going to win?
The guy with the gun.
No.
The pirate, because Bruce Lee is dead, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, Bruce Lee went down with a stomach ache, okay? How tough was he? Ooh, my stomach hurts. Dead.
You people have no vision.
He couldn't beat a ham sandwich that went bad, apparently. That's what killed him.
Remember the innocent days back when you used to be able to fly a kite and not kill people?
You mean back before the kites of death? This story is fascinating. Bean is obsessed with it and has
well,
been
I
since
am.
He heard about it. The kites of death.
By the way, are playing Coachella.
I have an email about this. Let me go ahead.
Okay.
You can tell the story, then I'll read the email.
Well, just the short version of the story, if you haven't heard, is there's a festival that goes on every year in Pakistan, and it's called the Basant Festival. Now, that's a word in Hindi that means yellow. And I guess it has to do with flowers that bloom at that time of year. And they do a big national celebration. And part of the celebration is that everybody flies kites. And they don't fly kites over there the way we fly kites over here, because kites over there are the kites of death. They have killed something like a dozen people flying kites in all sorts of bizarre ways. People falling off roofs, people getting the cords wrapped around their necks and get their throats strangled. I mean, it's insane. It's like war over there.
So we thought it wasn't possible, and then we did some research. We also got an email from Eric. Kevin, I mean, I heard you guys are going to be talking about flying kites and people getting injured or killed. This is something very common in Brazil as well. He was there. He said, let me explain how the process works. The objective is to battle with the kites in the air and to get the upper hand. So they take the kite string and they line it with ground up glass.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So that they can then cut the other people's string, and then the other kite, when it falls down, you get it wrapped around your line, and then you've got like, you're the king. You're the last kite standing. They actually try to cut the other strings.
So the goal is to be the only kite left in the sky.
Yes.
And everybody else is cut down somehow. And these people, I mean, there are people getting crushed in a mountain of people trying to chase kites. I mean, it's people fall off roofs. It's insane.
Sometimes the kites just fall and a group of kids are running and chases after the falling kites. They run into power lines. They fall in ditches. A guy was riding his motorcycle and ran into the string while it was drying with the glass, and he was decapitated.
Jeez.
It's just craziness.
Oh my God.
All right, here's the question I have about the Kites of Death, and then we're going to make one of our world-famous international telephone calls to Pakistan to find out what's going on. How are these people who are not smart enough to be able to fly a kite without dying, how are they able to keep Osama bin Laden from us for 6 years?
I don't know.
What's the deal here?
I don't know. Threads for kite battling are manufactured using special glues, chemicals, crushed glass. I mean, it's just they're kites of death. That's what happens. So let's call Pakistan. This should go well.
It is Lahore is the name of the town in Pakistan that we are calling. Hey, Lahore, right. Pakistan.
Think positive.
What's that?
Hold
What's
on. What, Alex?
Hey, I heard you want to talk to the whore.
No, Lahore.
No, Lahore is the name of the town in Pakistan. We're not looking for you, Alex.
But you're calling whore. I'm
Lahore
here.
Is the name of the town.
Damn it.
All right, what are we sorry. We calling the hotel here? What are we calling?
Yeah, right. Should be.
This is going to go well.
How tough is it to call Pakistan? I don't know
it's
that
like
much about their...
It's like 15 digits, dude.
Kevin, think positive. You can attract Pakistan to you.
That's true. That,
good idea.
See?
Hello?
That's us.
That's us. Don't point to it when it's us.
We don't need to call each other, Mike.
It's ringing. Hello, is this the Avari Hotel?
Yes, sir, it is.
In Pakistan. How about that?
See?
Outstanding. Sir, we're calling about the Kites of Death. We've heard some news reports about the Lahore Festival that all the people have been killed trying to fly kites. Is that for real? Is really happening over there?
I'm not sure. I'm connected to the main reception. Someday you can get the information.
Okay, you don't know about the kite festival that's going on, the Basant?
Sorry, I'm speaking from the exchange. So I'm connected to the main reception. Hold the line. Please.
Okay. I guess the exchange is what, here?
They know nothing.
Do they outsource their hotels to here in America?
It's weird, though. Pakistan's probably the only place in the world that doesn't outsource to India because they're bitter enemies.
They're enemies, yeah.
This is weird that we can actually call Pakistan. And his English better than ours.
Yeah. Better than mine, for sure.
It's fun to hear you talk and then hear you talk.
It's a weird echo, isn't it? Echo, isn't it? Echo, isn't it? Secret. It's a secret.
That's amazing, Samantha.
Excellent. hi, sir. Do you speak English?
Yes, I can. Sir.
Okay, good. We're calling about your Basant Festival, the kite flying festival. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, kite flying festival is over now, sir.
It's over now.
On 25th of February.
I see. We don't understand here in America why so many people died flying kites. It doesn't seem like it would be that dangerous. Can you help us understand it?
Actually, it's not a dangerous game. If you use the light thread, then it's not a dangerous. But some people, they use the dangerous thread.
The dangerous thread.
So dangerous thread, right.
So they do put, like, shards of glass in the thread so that they can cut other people's kite lines, right?
Very right, very right.
And 12 people died and 500 people were injured.
I don't have the exact figures, but I heard that approximately 7 people have died.
Wow.
Yeah. It seems like more people dying flying a kite than you would hope for, though.
Actually, it depends on the government. He should take some actions, the people who are using that sharp thread. So
the government's trying to crack down on people who use that kind of thread?
Yeah, some people, they are actually, they like to fly the kite. They like to, they love to fly the kite. But some, they don't want to do this.
So we love flying kites here too, but we don't die.
Yeah, they're not the Kites of Death. What kind of a place is Lahore? It sounds like a place I would want to visit.
There are many historical places, actually, in Lahore.
Mm-hmm. What kind of city is it? Is it a tourist city? What does it do?
It's a tourist city, historical places, many historical places. Someone who loves historical places, he can visit Lahore. There's too many places.
I see.
You said historical?
Yeah, historical city, actually.
Okay.
Does it seem like Pakistan would be a good place for Americans to visit right now, or maybe not so much?
It is a very safe and good place to visit.
Safe and good place. Okay. Now that the kites of death are gone.
Yeah, exactly. Don't go last week, but go this week. I gotcha. Okay, so that's good news. So they're you're aware of it, and they're cracking down on it, and everything's cool.
So we're good, right?
So we cool? Are we cool?
Who's the president of China?
Bean finds this so funny.
Who's the president of China?
He's been laughing about this ever since President Hu, which is his name, H-U, actually came to America, which is about
say
a week ago.
I say, who's the president of China? You say, exactly, and then hit the button.
But that's not funny.
I try who's the president of China?
Exactly.
There we go. As you know, the president of China, Hu Jintao, was just here in America for a few days last week. He is gone now, but we finally got a chance to catch up with him and find out how his visit to America was. And also some very surprising news about the Chinese army. We want to run by the president, too. Mr. Hu, good morning.
Hurrah, Kevin and Bean.
Well, hello to you. So people refer to you as who?
I am.
Exactly. All right. How did you?
I am who?
You are who? That's your name.
I am.
Right.
So, I am president.
Right.
Right. So
who is president?
Well, you are.
Yes.
Who gets your paycheck at the end of the week?
No. What is the Minister of Culture?
Please stop it.
You know what?
I'm begging all of you. I hate you all.
All right. Mr. President, first
why?
Of all.
Because you're doing.
Why is our defense chairman?
Right. How? All right, Mr. President, we're moving on now. How did you enjoy?
How is the chief of military?
Okay.
Also, how?
Tell me about
I am
your.
Who?
Right. Okay, President Hu, we got that, yes.
I am.
Tell me about your visit.
You're
to
the President
the...
Hu.
Come on.
I am.
Come on.
Seriously.
Tell me about your visit to the
It's a 900-year-old bit. Stupid who's on first BS. Come on. Come on.
Can we take
we
this again,
to get
please?
To other stuff. I hate you both.
Mr. President.
Who?
Yes, that's your name.
That's the President Who.
Can we ask you about your visit to the White House?
Hello?
Yes.
I didn't recall you had this sense of humor and you were at the White House the other day when you were being heckled, sir.
Why?
You were being heckled at the White House.
Who was?
Yes.
Exactly.
Come on. Seriously. Come on.
I don't think we can go on at this point.
Come on.
Come on who?
You wish. I wonder if I were Ralph Garman, what I'd be talking about right now on the Showbiz Beat.
I'd be saying Bean's a douchebag. That's just me. Kevin and Bean are on vacation. We'll get back to the best of the Kevin and Bean show in just a few moments. In the meantime, I'm live here in the studio bringing you the latest and greatest in all the showbiz news. That means it's left to me to do the unpleasant task of announcing that, yes, Paris Hilton is indeed out of jail.
Oh.
Apparently it happened early this morning, a little bit after midnight, apparently officially ending a bizarre 3-week stay that, well, was all over the news. In fact, many of the local stations here in Los Angeles covered her release live as if it was actually news. Apparently Paris was greeted by an enormous gathering of cameras and reporters, as well as a big crowd of cheering fans. What they're fans of, I couldn't really tell you. Of course, we all know she checked into the regional detention facility there in Lynwood about 3 weeks ago. She had a breakdown. She cried. She screamed. But when she came out, she was smiling and waving to the cameras as if she was on the red carpet. So I guess everything's back to the way it should be in the universe. We'll find out more tomorrow night, of course, when she talks to Larry King with her first post-jail interview. I can't imagine that is going to be enlightening in any way, but it's news, so I'll bring you some clips as soon as we all watch. Unbelievable. I got a lot of emails. I mentioned yesterday that there was a list in In Touch Weekly magazine about the stars with the best chests. A lot of the ladies have emailed.
Now we're talking.
Mike.
Now we're talking.
Such a fruit cup.
Did I not do pretty well at getting that list?
You did pretty well, yeah.
Thank you.
A lot of the girls were asking to recap it because they missed it. Apparently, it was quite the water cooler conversation and work with the ladies, so I thought I'd recap it for you quickly here. This is from In Touch Weekly Magazine. The top 5 stars with the best chests. Psycho Mike named 3 out of the 5 because he says he knows pecs.
Oh.
Here's your list from 5 to 1. John Mayer. Singer, songwriter John Mayer. On again, off again boyfriend to Jessica Simpson. One of the stars with the best chests. Josh Duhamel. Of course, one of the stars of the Transformers. And Las Vegas over there on NBC. He's number 4. My buddy Matty Mack. Matthew McConaughey. Yeah. He's 3rd on the list.
Fine pair of man bosoms.
He's chiseled.
Yes.
He's granite, that dude.
Yes.
When we did 2 for the Money, I went to shake his hand at the end of my shoot, my little stay there when I was done shooting. And I grabbed his hand and I put my hand on his shoulder and his arm. And he was like a stone, that guy. He's just pure muscle.
He's a handsome man.
Your eyes are glazing over as I'm talking about it. You can't help but fascinate.
Well, the thing about McConaughey that's great is that he lives life the way a unbelievably attractive, wealthy celebrity should.
Yeah, that's
true. Takes advantage of it.
Hugh Jackman. He's 2 on the list, the Wolverine. And 1, Mario Lopez.
That's just ridiculous.
Mario Lopez has topped the star with the best chest list. So
Mario Lopez, great physique. I'm not trying to take anything away, but
he's Slater, dude. He's
not
Slater.
1.
He's Slater.
He looked great, though, when he took Nedek out at that wrestling competition. That was the best. Hey, Nedek!
Kevin and Bean, leave me alone here with Psycho.
Why don't you mess with somebody your own size? Because he was going to wrestle Screech, and Screech is not ready to wrestle. That's ridiculous.
So wrong. Reese Witherspoon has apparently broken up with her boyfriend, Jake Gyllenhaal, according to Us Weekly magazine. Reese has cooled things off with Jake because she's afraid of what people were saying about her failed marriage. Although she cares for him, says friends, the timing just isn't right. So poor Jake Gyllenhaal having his heart broken by Reese Witherspoon. Can't Jake do better? Can he? What about that Heath Ledger thing?
Oh, yes, Heath Ledger. It's like a big sausage. Oh, yes. That's right, Jake Gyllenhaal. It is. It's a species spicy sausage. How do you like that? Oh, yes.
Now, that's a couple I could get behind. Those two.
Look good on screen.
Get behind.
Oh, Ralph.
Get it? And Chris Evans is in love. He, of course, one of the stars of the Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, In Touch magazine, claims he's been seeing Friday Night Lights star Minka Kelly.
Yeah.
That's strong. Flame on there, Johnny Torch. They've been together for about a month now, and they're even talking about moving in, according to the magazine. So that's a good score for Chris Evans right there.
I agree.
Of course, he's a good-looking fellow, too. It's the reason he can't be with her.
Also very muscular.
Stop it. And Danny DeVito hitting the bottle again. God bless him. You may remember a few months back, he had one too many limoncellos when he was hanging out with partying with his pal George Clooney, and he went onto The View loaded. It's the best episode of The View ever. Well, the New York Daily News reports that while at the opening of his new restaurant last week in New York City, I don't know if it's New York City or whether it was here, I can't remember. But anyway, fellow guests saw him throwing up in the bathroom at the end of the evening. One partygoer says he was a mess by 10 p.m., others that were invited to the opening say it was probably partially the heat and the food.
I'm sure it was.
In being the restaurant. It wasn't the alcohol at all. Little Danny DeVito from The View.
Not edited, by the way.
Greatest interview ever on The View. Speaking of interviews, less than an hour away, I will be talking to the star of Transformers, Shia LaBeouf. On the phone with me. We're going to have a very in-depth interview. Kevin and Bean aren't here to screw it up, so I promise you we'll get some information out of the kid.
He only agreed to talk to the show if they were gone.
That's right. He said, when are they going on vacation? All right, I'll call in then.
Yeah.
Of course, what a year the guy's had. Disturbia, one of my favorite films of the year. He was a star of that. He is going to be in Transformers that hit screens on July 3rd. And then he is currently, as we speak, filming the 4th Indiana Jones movie where he plays Indiana Jones' son. So, pretty remarkable year for this guy.
Unbelievable.
Looking forward to hearing what it's been like for him. So stick around. In less than an hour, I'll be talking to Shia on the Showbiz Beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, trying to root out bad taste in music everywhere we can. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, for the iPod police. Now, Psycho Mike is the guy that we send out for this.
And he goes out with a tape recorder and finds people that have headphones on and are listening to music on their iPod.
That's what I do.
Where did you get most of these?
Gold's Gym Pasadena. I'd like to thank them also for letting me pretty much roam free throughout their gym. Okay. Gold's Gym Pasadena.
So while people are working out, they're listening to
iPods. A lot of people there. The park that I always forget its name, right next to the Grove here in LA. And then also this time I got on a bus.
On a city bus.
Yeah. It just dawned on me. It was like a brilliant stroke of genius. And late at night, I'm like, where can I get more people? It's raining. Right. Where in LA do people have? And then I'm like, people on the bus are always listening to headphones. And I got on a bus.
Did you have you ever gotten on a bus here before?
Not in LA. No. When I used to live in the East Coast, I would, but it's a little bit more, you know,
kind of makes sense
reasonable
there, and everybody
there.
Does it there.
Yeah, I've never, and you know, in the 20 some years I've lived in Los Angeles, I've never gotten on a
that
bus.
Is dedication.
Because you're rich and privileged. Okay, so so you get on the bus.
Yeah.
And how much does it cost? I don't know either.
I didn't actually ride, so it didn't matter. I told the bus driver at 8 o'clock at night, I was like, hey, at the bus stop, can I interview? I was interviewing people at the bus stop.
Oh, I see.
And I got on, I was like, can I talk to some of the people right here, that are listening to their headphones? There's only, one dude on that bus.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
And I talked to him.
I got you.
And, I think it's like 48 cents. I don't know. There's a little jar you put a token in, or if you have change.
I think it's a couple of bucks.
Yeah. Is it?
I don't
think it's 48 cents.
Well, there's a thing for like change or token, so I assumed it was.
Yeah,
not
it doesn't
over
matter.
A buck, you know?
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you go up to people and you ask them what they're listening to.
Yeah.
And then as the iPod police, you take the appropriate action.
Sure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time. We present for you the iPod police.
Wherever there are personal listening devices, you cannot avoid the big ears of the law. It's Officer Psycho Mike with the iPod police.
Hey, man, what's your name?
Michael.
What are you listening to there on your iPod?
Well, right now, I'm actually listening to Rise Against.
Oh, Rise Against. Nice. I'm impressed.
Yeah, they rock.
What else you got there on your iPod? Let me see.
I got a little bit of everything. I got some Metallica, some Guns N' Roses.
Some good choices.
Yeah, it's all my favorite music.
You have a girlfriend?
Yes and no.
Would you like one?
No.
Seems like we have a lot in common. I'm willing to be your bitch.
Yeah, I don't really swing that way, though. Sorry.
Well, if you ever want to, I can always kill my wife.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I'll get back to you on that.
Sweet. Excuse me, sir.
Yeah, what's happening?
You mind if I ask what you're listening to? I'm with the Department of Homeland Security.
Some Kid Rock.
Kid Rock?
Yeah.
You know, it's 2006, man.
Well, you want me to change it to another one?
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to write you a ticket for public intoxication.
I'm sorry.
You're gay with your music. I'm going to need you to listen to all of Black Sabbath's albums from beginning to end.
Beginning to end. Sure. All right.
Thank you, sir. Excuse me, sir. Can I ask you a question?
F*** you, bro.
Okay. Hey, man, what are you listening to?
Dead Boys.
Dead Boys. Very nice. I'm impressed.
Well, yeah, I'm a cool motherfucker.
And I'd just like to commend you for doing a service to the community by listening to good music. So keep it up, buddy. I'm here with fellow iPod police officer Jerome. How you doing, Jerome?
I'm doing good.
Jerome, what would we have to do in the iPod police to someone who is a seemingly normal grown man who is infatuated with Barry Manilow?
We have to check that nigga.
Yeah. What are you listening to there on your iPod?
Right now, it's Ashley Simpson.
Shut up.
Yeah. Look.
I just punched him.
Seriously, what the fuck, dude?
I'm the iPod police, sir, and I needed to administer some punishment. Obviously, a crime's been committed here.
Dude, you just fucking punched me.
Oh, okay, go. Can you put your headphones to the mic, please?
That's right, Jake Gyllenhaal. It is. It's a spicy, spicy sausage. Oh, yes.
Spicy, spicy sausage. Ask what you're listening to.
Joseph Krikorian.
Oh, and the song title?
Hoki Ses.
Not gonna lie, it kind of tripped me up there. Is that Arabic?
It's actually an Armenian singer.
All right, well, Allah willing, you go ahead and enjoy that.
All right, thank you.
Can I ask what you're listening to?
Listen to house music right now.
To go like this?
It's very similar, yeah. I go from house music to trance music.
I'm going to have to write you a ticket for listening to music that contains no actual instruments. Do you understand the charges that are levied against you, sir?
No, I don't. Can you tell me, please?
You must watch 8 John Wayne movies and do 500 push-ups. Is that all right with you?
But I'll still listen to it. You give me as much as you want, as many tickets as you want. I'll still listen to it.
You're headed straight to Guantanamo. Naked pyramid for you. Biatch. Hey, dude, what are you doing?
Oh, wait. For the bus.
What do you listen to there on your iPod?
Beach Boys, Paula Abdul, America, Firefall.
Okay, Beach Boys, America, Firefall, Paula Abdul. Which one's the outlier, dude?
Probably Paula Abdul.
What draws you to Paula Abdul out of the other bands mentioned? It seems like you're, you know, you like the mullet rock, and then all of a sudden the talentless drug addict comes out of nowhere.
Well, when you're a 44-year-old guy, you know, and Paula Abdul's our age, and we just can't relate to that.
So
no.
You two are talentless?
I am. I am very talentless, yes.
Okay, well, I'm with a division of the Homeland Security called the iPod Police. I'm going to have to write you a ticket. You're going to need to put your head in front of a fire hydrant and wash the gay away.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, dickhead.
Oh, that's good work right there, Psycho Mike.
You're not the part of the Homeland Security that's picking up little chicks on the internet, are you?
No, of course not. But let me say this. The iPod Police is difficult because you're essentially going up to a sect of the public that is broadcasting to the world, I don't want to be bothered.
Exactly, yeah.
I have headphones
Leave
on.
Leave me alone.
Please,
yes.
I'm in my own little world, and I'm going up to only those people. I'm embraced about as well as, like, the IRS, you might say.
But at least the first guy you talked to, you offered gay sex.
Well, listen, Metallica, Guns N' Roses, yeah. Rise Against, you got to give that guy
that
a band.
That was strong. That was good.
Right? Yeah.
And then you gave a ticket for public intoxication.
Take a guess who was the one guy I talked to on the bus. The guy who told you, F you, bro. Virgin guy.
Who was the guy listening to Paula Abdul?
He was a seemingly kind of well-to-do, white, middle-aged. He said 44. He doesn't look like your typical LA bus rider.
Right?
But still, why would he?
Sitting at the bus stop, and he was cool because I was like, hey, dude, do you mind if I ask what you're listening to? He goes, sure. Puts his iPod up to me and starts rifling through. And he's got Firefall America, the Eagles, Beach Boys, stuff like that. And all of a sudden, he breaks out Paula Abdul, and I mean, it kind of threw me for a loop, needless to say.
See, that's the thing about the iPod is it's such a personal thing that you can listen to the stuff that you would be embarrassed other people would know about.
Yeah.
Until the iPod police catches you.
We're always watching. Be careful.
And then punches you right in the stomach.
First, though, it's not enough that the guy wants to marry you. He has to ask you in a way that makes you impressive to your friends. That's the topic on the table here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Let's hear the tape about the hot new thing in wedding proposals.
You can't just drop to one knee and pop the question anymore. Case in point, the Boise State Sweethearts, who got engaged on national TV after the Fiesta Bowl upset. They were here last week. Such an adorable couple. So now buzz is building over a mystery suitor, a man who is asking for help in staging what he calls the most public declaration of love in the history of mankind. That's how he phrases it. He wants to ask his girlfriend to marry him during the Super Bowl.
Okay, before we talk to the guy behind mysuperproposal.com, and you can check out the website and find out what he's doing. And remarkably, by the way, keeping it a complete secret from his girlfriend. She doesn't even know any of this is going on. And here he is on, you know, Good Morning America and all these shows.
Right.
He's got to hide it all for, which is pretty remarkable itself. But doesn't it seem like, and the Boise State one is another example, doesn't it seem like the proposals have gotten away from, hey, this is about my love for you and my wanting to spend the rest of my life with you? It's really more, hey, look how impressive I am, and hey, look at me.
How
doesn't it seem like it's
you?
Getting into that territory a little bit.
How
some of these
do you
proposals
know
lately?
This guy just doesn't love his girl more than you do?
More than anybody.
JP, are we allowed to call you that?
Yeah.
Hope so. hope so. Just did. Okay.
I have that right. Your girlfriend doesn't know anything about what you're trying to do with raising money for the Super Bowl commercial, right, JP?
No, she's never known about it. It's
So you put up a website.
Remarkable.
You put up a website, and people send you money, and you're trying to raise enough money to actually buy a commercial during the Super Bowl. Which
so that's not quite
okay.
Correct.
I'm sorry.
So
go ahead.
Initially, that was the plan, but once I got to about $75,000 in November, I kind of realized, well, this is not going to get to $2.5 million. The money that was raised is actually going to a charity to Vanderbilt Children's Hospital in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay, so, I like you way more already.
So you've abandoned the idea of doing it during the Super Bowl?
Because
I read that the commercials do cost $2.5 million, and you were going to try and raise enough money so that one of the sponsors would let you do this during their time.
Right. So now I'm hoping for even more charity from one of the sponsors, that they'll actually pick it up. And the good news is that and completely shockingly, there have been a bunch of them who have contacted me. Several different advertisers
saying
who have said, you know, that they're interested potentially in sponsoring, you know, 15 or 30 seconds for me to do this. So,
saying that they would do it for free. It's not going to cost you anything.
Yeah. Basically, they do it for free, and they just use that as their advertising time.
Hmm. Huh.
Wow.
Now, would it be a commercial that was pre-produced, or is it something you'd do live, or how would it work?
So I think it would be pre-produced. Although one advertiser did ask if I would, if I wanted tickets to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
With my girlfriend, and I told them that that was. That would probably spoil the secret pretty quick.
Yeah,
no kidding, yeah. So, okay, so it would be you on tape basically saying, hi, I know this is a little bit of a surprise, but it's me, honey, and will you marry me? I love you, blah, blah, blah. That, I mean, it would be like a 10-second spot during the Super Bowl.
That is exactly it. And I was kind of thinking, like, last night, I was thinking, you know, she's probably going to initially think that I just somehow, like, hijacked 15 seconds in the one broadcast that's coming into, like, our place.
Oh, right, just to your TV, right.
Right, right.
Right.
And not realize that it's nationwide. But
JP, what is it in me that responds to that? Like, if I saw that during the Super Bowl, I would just go, douche, and go get it. You know what I mean?
Jackass.
You know what I mean? It's like you have to outdo everybody, and nothing's ever good enough, and how are you going to top that? And I don't know. It just
It seems like you're turning the proposal into a competition with all other guys rather than making it about you and your lady.
Right.
Huh. Well, so I don't think that I would think of it that way. And I definitely wouldn't think of it as a competition or as one-upsmanship. It's just a crazy idea that somehow became reality beyond, you know, all luck and all reason. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it seems like something that shouldn't be compared against, like, oh, it was more impressive that some guy did it on the Super Bowl. I don't think that's the case. I think, you know, if it were me, let's say, and I saw it with my girlfriend,
right,
and, you know, were to propose in a restaurant, you know, somewhere during a vacation, I don't think that, you know, that this experience would lessen that or would make that any, you know, any less worthy or worthwhile.
Hmm.
I think it's just something amazing that managed to happen.
But are you the type of guy that then on your first anniversary you're going to have to figure out a way to top that, and then you're going to have to figure out a way to top that?
I don't think so. I would say that most of our relationship, you know, and our anniversaries and stuff have been pretty quiet and traditional, just go out to dinner somewhere. So,
you know, the sad thing for me in hearing that it's probably going to be a pre-taped proposal if it ends up airing during the Super Bowl coming up in February is that we don't get the opportunity to see her say no, because that is what you really...
You do get to see. So basically, it would play during the Super Bowl, and then I think we're planning on. Well, we usually every year watch the Super Bowl, like with my parents. My dad's a big football fan, so we're just going to, you know, go over there, and someone will whip out a camcorder, and then you can see the video of her saying yes or no.
Oh, I hope she says no. I so hope she says no. How long have you been with her?
We've been dating for a long time, actually, so more than 2 years, but
so you kind of know the answer already.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about, you know, family and marriage and, you know, having a life together and stuff. So I don't think the proposal itself will be a huge shock. It's just the format and the venue.
Yeah, I feel bad for the poor kid from Boise State, though, who has the coolest proposal of 2007 at the Fiesta Bowl, and then you come along, and all of a sudden he's gone. He's off the headlines, man. He's out. You've already beat him.
I've been working on it since late August. But yeah, I mean, his proposal was definitely amazing, and I got to see that, and I thought, you know, that was. Pretty terrific, and I think actually it got a lot of people even more interested in talking about, you know, this thing that was going on with me. So.
Dude, you should contact the Chargers or one of the teams that's expected to go to the game and ask them if you can play.
Oh, there you
and
go.
Then win the game on a safety.
Yes. And
yeah,
then
I do so well.
Yeah. All right.
You know, mysuperproposal.com again is the site. And just real quick, JP, before we let you go, so you're not doing the idea that we originally talked about, but so people go to your site now and you're still asking for donations for this charity in Vanderbilt? Is that what you're doing?
You can still make donations to Vanderbilt, but no, I'm not actively asking at this point.
Okay, so, but it's there if people want to donate.
Yeah, that video that goes on afterwards, there's, you know, advertisers who are sponsoring that video as well, and then that's expected to raise a lot of money, and some of that money is going to go to charity as well. And then some of it goes to the people who host it.
I gotcha. The internet's amazing for stuff like this, isn't it? This wouldn't even have been possible a few years ago, but now it's everywhere. You don't sound as much like a douchebag as we thought you would. I just want to encourage people out there. I just want to encourage people out there listening to this to not think, well, I can't just ask my girl privately now because it doesn't mean anything or it isn't as cool or it doesn't matter. Because the key here is the pledging of your lives together. The key here is that you're getting
engaged.
That's the big story, not how it's done.
I totally agree with you.
Says the guy. Says the guy who said that night. I don't know. What do you want to do? You want to watch TV or go to Vegas and get married?
Yeah.
I know. Well, I'm not exactly the king. I'm not the king of the proposals.
That was his proposal. All right, JP, thanks for coming on the show with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.
Best of luck. Bye now.
One of the movies that I am most looking forward to this year is The Simpsons Movie.
Well, I got bad news for you, man. This boycott may hurt the film. Let's find out what's going on.
Big trouble in Mexico. I don't know if you've seen this, but Mexico's National Association of Actors Union are the ones that are responsible for the voice actors who translate The Simpsons into Spanish.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. We know, we think of, Dan Castellaneta, for instance, is our Homer Simpson for the last 18 years. But there's a guy who plays Homer in many countries around the world. You know, there's an Indian Homer, and then there's a Mexican Homer, and then, there's a Portuguese Homer. I mean, it's very funny to think that there's a whole another set of Simpsons out there.
And these Simpsons, apparently this union, the Mexican National Association of Actors Union, went on strike in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that the producers told them to get them to come back off strike is we will let you do the movie as well. And now apparently they're being told they can't do the movie.
Really?
Why?
I don't know.
Now, this Simpsons movie we've been waiting for, it seems like 10 years since they first said they were going to put a movie out, but it's finally coming out this summer. In a couple of months, it's going to be coming out. So it seems like now would be the time that these guys ought to be voicing the movie if they're going
to
do it.
I went to see Shooter over this past weekend, and there was a trailer for this, and I was so excited to see the Simpsons movie. But the guys who do the voices in Mexico apparently are not being used for the movie. They're upset. They're threatening to strike again.
Well, that seems bogus.
They're saying, look, you told us we could do the voices. We're the voices in Mexico. Why would you be against that?
Yeah.
And, I don't understand it.
I don't know exactly what's going on, but we had Lightning track down the National Association of the Actors Union in Mexico, and we have them on the phone to try and figure out exactly what's going on down there with the voices for the Simpsons movie. Good morning.
¿Qué pasa? What's up, eh?
Hi there. What's your name, sir?
My name's Rudy Cisneros. How you doing, vato?
Rudy?
Rudy?
We know you.
Rudy, it's Kevin and Bean calling from K-Rock.
Nah. Seriously?
Is this our Raiders fan, Rudy?
What's happening?
Why did Lightning give us Rudy? We asked for the Mexican National Association of Actors Union.
Yeah, that's me. Hey, I just got a new job. I came down here to Mexico. Like, the other day, I smoked some crazy, some weed with my homeboy Little Maniac and Trucha. And I guess they, sprinkled some angel dust or something in there.
Yeah.
And, next thing I know, I woke up in Mexico and, I got a fly job.
But you're not an actor. I mean, this is the union that represents the voice actors, in this case, that are working for The Simpsons. That's not you. You don't do that.
Dude, you got, they had to take, whatever they can get. I did some extra work on Baywatch in 1996.
Right.
And they're like, that's enough credit for us, eh? And, now I'm running stuff down here.
Okay, wait a minute.
Voices. I'm delegating people. It's crazy.
Okay, wait a minute. So you're saying that the actors that do the voices are on strike now and you're the strike breaker?
Yeah, and I'm also filling in. I've been doing some voices for the Simpsons episodes, while they're on strike, eh?
Do you do the Simpsons? Do you do voices?
Well, I mean, I try. You know, the hard part is I don't speak Spanish.
Well, that makes sense.
That seems a little bad.
Well, like I said, any port in a storm, eh? All the voice actors in Mexico, they're striking. So, they had to take whatever they can get. I guess they're, outsourcing to some cholos in the U.S., eh? So, I made my way down there.
Wow. Outsourcing bites everybody in the ass, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it sure does.
Man.
You know, I thought the king of Mexico, our friend Dave Sanchez, who answers the phones here, Carrick, was the only guy who speaks with this much of an accent and can't speak Spanish. I'm so confused by you now, Rudy.
I'm a product of my environment, eh? That's what my counselor at high school used to say, eh? You know what I'm saying? I just emulate what I was hearing back in my house, you know, growing up.
So are the Simpsons actors, the voice actors, are they out in front with signs saying, you know, hell no, we won't go or whatever?
They're saying that, but I
si se puede?
In Spanish, yeah, so I don't know what they're saying. I just make a move when I walk into work, you know what I'm saying? Get out of my way, puto.
Do they spit on you?
And I gotta do some work, you know? And they don't spit on me. They know better, eh? They see the teardrop under my eye. They see the, they see the mi vida loca. They know, eh?
Okay.
My Raiders beanie down tight. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Sure. Rudy, I don't understand. So what are the Simpsons episodes like, though, if you're the guy who's supposed to be translating into Spanish and you can't speak Spanish? I don't understand how that would work for the people watching the show in Mexico.
I figured you guys might have, some questions, you know, what it's sounding like.
Right.
So I actually sent over some MP3 files this morning because I knew, you guys were going to talk to me. I sent it to Lightning. I didn't know you guys were going to, be, you know, blowing me up on the show like this. But I think you guys might have some clips, eh?
I have a CD or what is this?
Well, this is going to be this Sunday's episode. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying my best because I don't speak Spanish. And I don't really do voices in the past. So this is Marge and Lisa having, a mother-daughter moment, eh? You know, and I just did it the best I could. You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
All right. So okay. here's scene number one with Rudy Cisneros, who's now voicing The Simpsons.
Orale, Lisa. Where have you been? Oh, hi, moms. I've been at the El Monte Mall preparing for my big Valentine's Day date with Ralph Wiggum. Oh, how great. Where is he taking you? Ralph just got a fly new pompadour haircut, and he's going to take me to the Morrissey concert to try and release some anger and frustration from our harsh Latino lives. That's great, Lisa. And that white blouse with black bra looks so sexy on you. Thanks, Mom. And how about my eyebrows? Don't they look great? Yeah, who did it? Little Pukey's cousin, Skranta. Oh, Lisa, you're growing up right before my eyes. He.
Rudy, that doesn't sound anything like Marge and Lisa, though. Nothing.
Well, the last,
you're not even trying to do their voices.
Look, eh? All right, if you want to make fun of the product,
no,
go
no,
ahead.
We're just no,
but
no,
don't
no.
Don't question my effort, eh?
No, but what we're
don't
saying is
my effort, okay?
No, but what we're saying is that the voice actors in Mexico, they try to make it sound like the original.
I was trying it.
Well, those were two. There was a mom and a daughter there, a little girl.
Why are you making fun of me, eh?
Well, I'm just saying you didn't try.
You know what I'm saying? You've been picking on me for years. I said, go out, get a job, become something, Rudy. Now I got a job.
Okay,
I'm like, you know,
okay.
I'm blowing up.
All right,
up
we apologize. Do you think Matt Groening is going to be excited about Little Pukey being worked in the episode?
All right, he's a good guy. You don't even know that, Vato.
All right.
Hey,
we don't need
clip,
to mock.
Hey, we got one more clip.
Oh, one more. Okay.
Yeah, this one is Homer and Bart, and they're like hanging out at the pad in Springfield. Check it out.
Okay, now, so these are guys, so I imagine you do a pretty good Homer. I mean,
dude, it's unbelievable. You're like going to believe it's the real Simpsons.
Okay, here you go.
What's up, Bart? What are you doing? Oh, I'm just watching the Raider game, hanging out, smoking that bomb ass Yesca that Milhouse sold me. That smells like some bomb chronic-ass skunkweed, eh? Can I hit that? Of course you can, Homer. Take a pull off this, vato. Dope.
Well, that's flawless, Rudy. That's good work. Can I hear the dough one more time?
All right, hold on, eh? Meanie.
Right now, though, Tuesday morning, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. It's not the usual showbiz beat because this July 3rd, the biggest movie of the summer is going to be opening. It is, of course, Transformers. We've been talking about it for weeks. Give me a little Transformers, will you, Mike?
Transformers!
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I cannot wait. Michael Bay, of course, the director and producer of Transformers. Man, this looks good. Josh Duhamel, of course, stars in it. Bernie Mac, Tyrese Gibson, John Turturro, John Voight, Megan Fox. Have you seen the Megan Fox? Are you familiar with Megan Fox? Wow.
Goodness me.
I remember seeing her in a movie called Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen, I think it was, with Lindsay Lohan.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, jumping Jiminy. She is just the goods.
Yeah, she's, but Dave wouldn't have sex with her because she has tattoos.
No, that's right, I forgot. And, of course, Shia LaBeouf, also in that movie. He, I guess most people saw him grow up on Even Stevens, the TV show over there on the Disney Channel. And then he's done a bunch of movies since. He was in Holes, which was a big smash hit in 2003. He appeared in I, Robot, in Charlie's Angels Full Throttle, Constantine, The Greatest Game Ever Played. He's great in that. Most recently, Bobby, he was in that. And Disturbia.
Yeah.
Which was one of my favorite movies of the year.
I also saw him in like an artsier film, an independent film called A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints, which was a very interesting film. But he's, you know, the guy's got chops.
Yeah.
He's not just some Disney Channel guy who's going to make blockbusters and stuff. He's got serious acting chops.
Yeah, he's the one of the best young actors of his generation. And what a year this has been for him. He had Disturbia earlier on in the year. Then he had, of course, Surf's Up. He was the voice of the lead in Surf's Up. Then Transformers. And he's currently this summer going to be filming Indiana Jones 4. It's pretty tremendous.
How could that not be overwhelming to a guy his age?
But, well, let's find out how he feels about it. Good morning, Shia.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, buddy?
Let me just say it's the best show on the planet.
Oh, stop it.
I'm from Los Angeles, and I worship this show.
Oh, you're very kind, Shia. Yeah, thanks so much, man. What a year this has been for you, huh?
It's been an insane year. Next year's going to be horrendous. I'll be doing phone interviews from jail.
Are you already planning your downward spiral?
Yeah, it's all downhill from here. It's going to be fun to watch me, the complete demise of myself.
What's the year been like for you? It's got to be a little heady experience to go through all of this so much so quickly.
It's like floating on a cloud, you know? It's like, I don't know how to describe it, but the stuff you dream about, it's like you almost don't want the dream car. You know, the dream car is supposed to be the dream car, and once the dream car just becomes the car...
Then what do you do?
Then what do you do?
Right,
exactly.
Right.
So, you know, I don't dream about unicorns because I go to set and meet unicorns. You know, I dream about, like, bagging groceries, you know, things, just regular stuff.
Speaking of dream cars, Transformers opens up on July 3rd.
Right.
I cannot wait.
What
for
a sick
movie.
Segue. That was a beautiful segue.
Well, thanks
by the way.
So much.
I just had to point that out.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, man.
And you, of course, as Sam, get your dream car. You got a Camaro, right? It's a little bit of a beater, but
right.
it's got a few things that are in surprise for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, any guy with a Camaro, even if it's a piece of crap, is a cool cat.
That's right. Here's a little clip from Transformers.
Last night at the station, you told the officer your car transformed.
Here's what I said, that my car had been stolen, but it's fine now because it's back. It came back.
So what do you kids know about aliens, huh?
Gentlemen, I want to introduce you to my friend, Optimus Prime.
Oh, come on!
Yeah.
That even looks good on radio, Shia. Now, were you a big Transformers fan when you were a kid?
Huge. My childhood was Transformers, Yogi Bear, and Michael Jackson.
Well, I'm surprised because you started young in the business. You were an actor from the age of like 9 or 10, right?
Yeah, but Transformers for me, you know, you got to think about when the show was airing. It was like 84 to 87.
Oh, right.
And I was born in 86, so I was like born into it.
Right. So dealing in this type of film, working with Michael Bay, I have to assume that because of the nature of the CGI and that kind of stuff, you dealt with a lot of looking into space and pretending stuff was there that wasn't really there, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. But again, this is a CGI at a whole different level. This is the best CGI ever conceived of and created. This is a whole different way of doing it, where they would build half the robot and then they'd create the rest so your eye can't tell which part has been created and which part's really there.
So you weren't just looking at some tennis ball hanging from a string someplace. You actually had something to work with.
Well, there were scenes where we couldn't, you know, we were moving so fast that we couldn't bring the robots in. So, yeah, there was a lot of that, too.
Is that a particular kind of challenge as an actor when you're working on a set like that where you don't really have something to work opposite? It's more imagination?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the Elephant Man, you know, but it's not easy either. I mean, it's a different way of doing things. It's wild to see, like, John Turturro or John Voight, you know, come into something and not have it completely down, you know, and learning how to do it on the day. It's wild to watch guys at that level go through those things.
Right. Speaking of your co-stars, Megan Fox.
Oh, she's a fox.
Talk about your special effects right there.
She's not real. She's CGI.
She can't be real. She's just way too hot.
Yeah, she was created in a lab.
That's not too bad going to work every day working with her, huh?
No, she's a cool person, too. I know people say that about, like, really hot girls like that, but she's really a cool person.
Of course she's cool to you. You're a movie star. She wouldn't be cool to me if I met her in the street.
No, you'd love her. She's a cool, cool chick. She loves the show. She K-Rock is her world.
She would have security escort me right out of a bar if I ran into
her. You'd be a rock star to her, man.
Really?
I'm telling you.
Oh, well, hook me up then. What's up with you, Shia?
That's my next thing. I'm going to hook you guys up. Three-way phone calls.
Hey, listen, you working on Indy 4 right now?
Thursday
you start.
Yeah.
How exciting is that?
It'll be the most exciting thing that's ever happened to me in my life. I don't know what it's going to be like first day when, like, George Lucas, Steven Spielberg are behind the monitor and, you know, Harrison Ford's there and they call action, you know? And that's just a weird, I don't know what that's going to be like.
And now you play Indy's son in this, right? Are we allowed to say that or is that
no,
not
No, you're not allowed to say that because
okay.
That's not real.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. But I've heard rumors, though, that...
Well, there's rumors about a lot of stuff.
How about the rumor that maybe you're going to be past the fedora, that the Indiana Jones series will live on and you're going to be the new star?
That's a crazy rumor. There's only one Indiana Jones, and his name's Harrison Ford.
All right, Shia.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold you to that. If there's another one and you're the star, I'm going to come back and say, you lied, man. We'll talk
right.
about it then. Hey, listen, best of luck with Transformers. You're not going to need it. It's going to be the biggest money-making blockbuster of the summer by far, obviously.
I hope.
But great work in Disturbia, too. I mentioned it earlier. It's one of my favorite movies of the year.
Thanks, man.
And you were great in Surf's Up. I mean, you're just on such a roll. Keep doing that good work.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Shai. Have a great day.
All right, guys.
Thanks, man.
Bye.
That's a cool dude right there.
Yeah.
Got the world by the ass, 21 years old.
And like I said, I mean, what's remarkable is that at his age, what he's accomplishing, he can still kind of remain to keep in check and remain a down-to-earth guy. And he's not over-bloated and doesn't seem to be going to jail and getting DUIs like young Hollywood should.
Yeah, I'm depressed now. Right. You know what I was doing when I was 21? Throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Jr.
How badly did it hurt when he goes, "Aunt, you know, well, because I was born in 86.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I forgot your child. Oh, dear Lord. All right, well, we got more of the best of Kevin and Bean coming up in just a few moments. I'm going to be out of here, but I will be back tomorrow bringing you all the latest and greatest in showbiz news with the Ralph Garman Showbiz Beat.
Some studies just don't even need to take place.
There's a book that is out in stores now called The Female Brain, and I know what you're thinking. Wow, that's a short book.
But hey. Actually,
a lot of people are talking about it. Dr. Lawan Brizendine has written the book, and she has done research, over 1,000 scientific studies on the brain, and has learned a lot about, as you would expect, the real differences between men's brain and women's brain.
She did 1,000 studies and came up with something as amazing as women talk more than men. Really? You needed 1,000 studies to know that?
And by the way, also on that tip, men think about sex every 52 seconds. Women, how often do you think?
Once a day.
Once a day, Lisa. Exactly. Once a day.
Wow. Men, 52 That's... seconds. So once a minute.
Yes.
Women once a day.
Once every 24 hours.
So awesome. It's kind of a miracle that those two coincide at the same time where you can actually have make some sexy time, because it seems like the chances are pretty slim.
Yeah.
But there's some real fascinating stuff in this book. And as Kevin mentioned, women talk way, 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 way more than men. It's not even close.
She says three times as much. And I think three times as much is way low.
It does seem low, that's
well,
for sure.
Well, it is for some men. Some of you all don't talk at all.
Some of you women talk a lot.
And there's some women who everything in their head comes out their mouth.
Yes.
Yeah, believe me, we know. Anyway, we asked Lightning to line up somebody on the team for us, and we have Dr. Marcus Wolson, PhD from Massachusetts Maritime Academy. Now, Doctor, this is the Fort Lauderdale extension of the Massachusetts Maritime Academy?
Yeah, that's right. We just opened up a satellite campus here in South Florida, and we couldn't be happier.
Okay. And you were or were not involved in the research that went into this book that we're talking about, The Female Brain?
No, I'm doing my own research. I'm doing a counter study called The Male Brain.
Oh.
And, I've read Ms. Brizendine's work, and I think a lot of it's, suspect, to say the least, in terms of scientific study.
She said the average woman talks 20,000 words a day. The average guy, 7,000.
Yeah, well, that much you got right. What she didn't say is that 15,000 of those 20,000 words are said while you're trying to watch goddamn television! She wants to talk about your mother-in-law. Outstanding. Well, let me just hit the TiVo and pause for the 100th time during the half hour I'm watching television and turn all my attention to you, sweet cheek.
Dr. Wilson, are you sure that you're subjective enough to make
objective
a study?
Objective enough.
Will you
objective.
Shut up, woman? Are you enough? Shut up.
I said like 20 words.
Your voice is like shaving my head with a cheese grater.
Dr. Brizendine, who's the woman that wrote the study, she says that women devote more brain cells to talking than men.
Yeah, well, they got about 8. So I guess 7 of those cells are directed towards talking.
That is not scientific.
Shut the hell up!
I got to say, I'm going to ask Bean's question again, because it seems like a scientific study needs to be very objective, and you seem to be, I don't know, a little emotionally involved in the topic.
Oh, but this broad who wrote the book about the female brain, she's completely subjective. What is she? Is she a llama? Is she some sort of other species where she's not connected?
Here's what she says, and let me tell you, we'll get what you think.
Oh, no, please tell me what she says. I need to hear more about what women think.
Women have an 8-lane superhighway for processing emotion, while men have a small country road.
Yeah, women have an 8-lane superhighway. The thing is, they're in all the lanes, and they got their left turn signal on.
Now you're talking about women driving?
And they're putting on their makeup in the rear view while they're in the 8-lane highway. I'm behind them in a Hummer, and I can't get to goddamn work.
You're a doctor, you're a PhD.
Yeah, I'm a PhD.
All right.
In what?
We got to be honest.
In what? Go kill yourself.
Dr. Wilson, please, we're trying to conduct an interview here. Let's all be civil here. The Massachusetts Maritime Academy, Fort Lauderdale Extension, just doesn't sound, I don't know, like the most reputable school. This woman was University of California, this woman who did the book.
Oh, I'm sorry, Stephen Hawking. I didn't know you were putting together a catalog of the world's best colleges.
All right, let me run one more thing that she said by and get your opinion on this.
Yeah, let's hear more from the broad.
She says that women actually get a buzz out of hearing their own voices, and then she goes on to say, talking triggers a flood of brain chemicals, which gives women a rush similar to heroin addicts.
Well, that's got to be true, because why else would they just talk and talk and talk and talk? And the thing is, the amazing part is, not that the voice gives them a buzz, but they don't hear it. They don't hear what they're saying. They don't hear their own voices. It's like farts. I think they say, it's like you smell your own fart, you're like, oh, it's not so bad.
What?
But somebody sitting next to you in a bus, like, Jesus Christ, what crawled up inside of you and died?
What are you talking about?
You're not a doctor, are you?
That's what talking to a woman is like. You're like, oh, dear God, doesn't she hear that sound? Doesn't she know? How do her ears not bleed?
What sound are you talking about?
Oh, for Christ's sake, will you go kill yourself? How do you two work with her all day long with her talking, talking?
Well, we find what she says in most cases to be quite interesting.
I'm not that chatty, really.
Oh, will you listen to yourself? I'd rather stick an ice pick in my ear than listen to you for one goddamn second longer.
Dr. Marcus Wilson, is it possible that you just got out of a relationship?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I just got freed from a prison. A marriage is with hell for 27 years.
I think she got freed from prison, frankly.
She got freed from prison. I'd like to stick you in a pickle barrel and push you over Niagara Falls.
Look, if your name happens to be Saddam Osama Hussein bin Laden, it's not your fault. You know, I hate the CBS. I don't watch any shows on the CBS, right? You guys know that. I just have a thing.
What's your thing? What? Why?
I don't watch The Survivor. I don't watch CSI. I don't watch any of those Monday night comedies. Just CBS.
No,
I don't know. Something about the channel, it gives me the heebs. You know, it's like writing with Black Ink. I just can't do it. I just can't bring myself to watch the CBS television network. However, I do have one exception, and that's 60 Minutes, which I religiously watch every Sunday because it's maybe the best show ever. So 60 Minutes did a piece on the no-fly list that they have, which most of us don't really give that much thought to because we're not on the list, but it was really fascinating. Before September 11th, 2001, there were 16 names on the U.S. no-fly list. 16. Now there are 44,000 on the no-fly list. And another 75,000 that are not on the no-fly list, but they are people that additional screening is required for. So between the two of them, there's like 130,000 people that TSA is supposed to keep their eyes peeled for going through the airport at any given time, right?
Dude.
And at a minimum, ask questions and hopefully not let them on a plane. Here's Steve Croft talking about the story.
It has also created enormous frustration and aggravation for thousands of innocent travelers who have the misfortune of sharing a name with someone on the list. And some of the names are among the most common in America, like Gary Smith, John Williams, or Robert Johnson. We found 12 of them and brought them to New York for an interview.
So how many of you are named Robert Johnson? Everybody. And how many of you have trouble getting on airplanes?
They don't look like a very dangerous group. There's a politician, a soccer coach, businessmen, even a member of the military. Yet they say they are pulled aside and interrogated, sometimes for hours, until someone at the Transportation Security Administration decides they're not the Robert Johnson on the no-fly list.
So listen to this. They're going to actually talk to the guys about what it's like for them to try to fly because they happen to be named Walter Johnson.
And they say it happens nearly every time they go to the airport.
Oh, at least 15 to 20 times.
Probably for close to 100 segments every time I would go to get onto an airplane.
I have my military ID, and you know, I go on military bases all the time, but I can't fly on a plane.
Because you're on the no-fly list.
Because I'm on the no-fly list, yeah.
Isn't that unbelievable, though? And again, we're talking about the 60-minute story on the no-fly list. Again, this guy, Walter Johnson, is a 62-year-old black man who has already committed some crimes, has already served jail time and has been deported from the United States. So they're trying to prevent him from coming back in, which is legitimate. But if he's a 62-year-old black guy, why is a 30-year-old white guy in the Army being pulled out of line every single time he flies because he happens to have that common name? It's absurd.
Because we're retarded.
Here's what's absurd to me. Once they question you out the ass, or however they question you,
no, that's accurate.
Ass, I don't know how they do it. Once they clear you, obviously, they give you some kind of identification so you can show them in the future times that you've been cleared.
And so they don't continue to waste their time and our money. doing it over and over.
And by the way, questioning people that they don't need to be questioning while other people are going through.
Here's the other scary thing. If this guy, one of these guys, gets through 15 times, but 3 times isn't questioned, there's another problem, because that means if your name's on the list, you're still getting through
once in a
while.
You still have a decent shot, yeah.
Well, that's a good point, Lisa.
That's a good point. And by the way, this is just one facet of the problems with the no-fly list. I mean, other things include the fact that there's tons of dead people on the list, including most of the 9/11 hijackers are still on the list. Saddam Hussein's name is still on the list, because there's a real danger of him trying to fly to Cincinnati this weekend.
Dude, you gotta be safe. I mean, maybe. We have Paul Lee on the phone. Good morning, Paul.
Hey!
Hi. Morning, guys.
Hi, Paul.
Paul's a friend of ours who does artwork for the Kevin and Bean Christmas CDs. How you been, Paul?
Good. Busy.
Okay. Doing any flying?
Not lately, no.
Paul, what's the problem?
Paul wrote us an email when we mentioned that we were going to be talking about the no-fly list, and he said, I'm on that list, guys.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Apparently, Paul Lee, a name that's on the list. And tell us about every time you go to the airport.
Right. Every time I go, we have to go like an hour earlier. And we found this out because we tried to travel by e-ticket, where you check in with a kiosk and it's supposed to go easier.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Won't let me do it. I can't travel that way. And it doesn't matter where I check in, at the counter or wherever. They always pull me aside and they have to, you know, I pull out more ID. They go into the back room to some mysterious computer to make sure I'm not a terrorist.
What kind of questions do they ask you?
They just ask more questions like my social security number, where I was born, stuff like that.
Right. Are you a terrorist?
That kind of thing.
But why do you hate America? But what's fascinating is, as we mentioned in the case of the 62-year-old black man, Walter Johnson, the TSA guys don't have even access to that basic information, much less things like social security numbers. I mean, they just have a name. That's all they have is P-A-U-L-L-E-E. And you unfortunately share that, so they start from scratch every time you get to the airport, right?
Pretty much.
Have you ever asked them, while they're going through all of that information, have you ever said, is there any way that you could clear this up for me for the rest of the times that I'm traveling?
Yes, I did, and they said no. Pretty much.
Really?
Just
can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny, Paul, because we've had this topic on the air before, too. There are people who travel with metal in their backs, for instance, as a result of surgery, and they know that they're going to set off a metal detector every single time to go to the airport, so they get a note from their doctor. Right, Kevin? You're familiar with that.
You have a card, and it explains why you're setting the thing off, and you can not go through it if you want, but this is ridiculous.
Well, it would be more suspicious than a letter saying I'm not a terrorist.
No, but in other words, that can't be faked.
But there has to be some way that you, Paul, can be cleared so that you don't have to do this for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you something else. Thank goodness I usually travel with my family and I have my 2 cute kids. If I didn't have them with me, I swear they'd do a rectal search.
Wow.
Yeah, because you're being pulled over for an hour is nothing compared to some other people who get delayed for 4 and 5 hours.
We just have to prepare for it. My wife laughs every time.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Paul, did this start shortly after 9/11?
Oh, yeah, directly because of 9/11.
Okay, and the first time it happened, were you just terrified that somehow you were going to end up in jail?
Guantanamo?
Yeah, because, you know, the counter people, they take your ID, and then they get this really serious look on their face.
Yeah.
And they go into a back room, and supervisors come out, and you're going, what the hell?
Right. And then you're the man all of a sudden.
That would be scary. I would not be surprised if people just get locked away and we never see him again.
Dude, if you ever met the real Paul Lee, are you going to beat the hell out of him?
There's millions of us. I don't know which one it is.
I think it'd be great if 30 Paul Lees all bought a ticket for the same flight and showed up at the same time and just blew their minds.
They would just put you all in a room.
It would be hysterical.
No, that's a great idea, Lisa. That would be like the best flash mob ever. Yes. Is everybody who's on the no-fly list, who's not that guy but has that name, all show up and take the same flight someplace.
The government would find that very fun. Say you smoke too much pot and you lay around all day and you watch TV and you need something to help you get up and go. Who do you think of as your goal, the type of person you would like to be?
Only one name comes to mind, and I think you know, it's Steven Seagal.
You guys know who Steven Seagal is, right? The fat actor who used to do martial arts movies?
Mm-hmm.
He was very popular in the 90s. He had a lot of big hits like Out for Justice, Hard to Kill, Marked for Death, the Under Siege movies. I mean, he was a real, real big star for a while, and then he just... I don't know, it seemed like he just vanished, just evaporated. You never, ever hear from him again.
That's because he might have actually vanished. This guy is a visionary. And I don't know if you've seen or not, but he has a new energy drink.
Really?
Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt.
Wow.
The first of its kind. And we thought we would have Steven on to ask him a few questions just about what's going on with the energy drink. Good morning, Steven.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Good.
Well, Steven, I got to be honest. First of all, welcome back to Hollywood. But I have to be honest. We were surprised.
I never left Hollywood. Making movies, still making music.
We haven't
still very popular.
We haven't seen much of
Your movies go direct to DVD now, mostly though, right?
They do play on smaller screens.
Yes. Okay. But I guess what I was going to say, Mr. Seagal, is that when we saw your product advertised, I'll be honest, we chuckled a little bit because you don't strike us as an energetic guy. You seem a little low-key to be promoting something like an energy drink.
I have enormous energy.
Really?
I have enormous energy.
Okay.
And my body's in tip-top physical condition, largely because of the studying I did when I was in Tibet, studying martial arts and Buddhism.
I see.
Okay, but when we've seen pictures of you in the paper, you look really, really fat compared to in your action hero days of 15 years ago. You don't look like you're in the top physical condition of your life, sir.
Well, everyone knows the camera adds about 100 pounds.
All right, now you got...
If you saw me in person, you would be shocked at my sinew.
Okay.
My rippling muscles.
Now
and
the...
my incredible vitality.
Now, the new energy drink is called Lightning Bolt.
Lightning Bolt, yes.
Says it's the first of its kind. How's it different from any of the other energy drinks?
I formulated this energy drink myself personally.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I came up with it during my travels in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Most important part is the first energy drink ever to contain Asian cordyceps and Tibetan goji berry, two of the most rare and treasured herbs in Chinese and Tibetan medicine for thousands of years.
Okay.
Never heard of those.
Yeah, they sound kind of made up. Like maybe it's one of those things that you know, you're trying to advertise, make it seem exotic and expensive, yet it doesn't really do anything.
Are you Tibetan?
I am not, no.
Well, that's probably why you never heard of them.
Okay.
They're very treasured by the Tibetans and the Chinese for thousands of years, and they're rare and treasured. incredibly treasured.
Nobody has ever put these into a drink before.
No one.
Okay.
This is the first time they've ever... been an energy drink. It will make a difference in your life that you will not believe. It'll add energy, vitality, and make you'll get younger as you drink it.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
Now, you're not Asian, right?
Well, depends on how you define Asian.
Well, somebody from that part of the world.
Your heritage is not...
I'm not Asian.
The paperwork says Lightning Bolt, an Asian experience energy drink.
That's one of our flavors. We have two flavors, Cherry Charge and Asian Experience.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Cherry Charge gives you a charge.
Of cherry?
Of cherry.
Okay, and the Asian Experience?
Asian.
What's that like, Steven Seagal? Is it like experiencing Asia?
That's not what it does for us.
Why do you have an energy drink? You have less energy than anyone on the planet.
Steven?
Asian experience.
Yes.
Yes?
Tastes like dog.
Oh, no. That's not where I thought you were going.
Makes you wear welding helmets in the sun. It gives you the urge to open a nail salon.
Oh, okay. No one needs to hear
this. Shrinks your penis.
Steven, don't you understand that there are some words that hurt? I mean, come on. You can't talk like that.
I would recommend the Cherry Charge.
That's not going to endear you to your Asian brethren.
No,
it's not. Cherry Charge, by the way, has Asian cordyceps and Tibetan goji berry.
Right.
Yes,
two of the most rare and treasured herbs.
You mentioned that.
Used in Chinese and Tibetan medicine for thousands of years.
Yes, we understand all that.
These are treasured.
All right, we saw this
loosely thrown around. These
really? I understand they're treasured. Right? Listen, we
are they
saw...
plentiful though? Would you say they're all over?
No, I'd have to say treasured.
Treasured.
Okay. We saw the ad for the Lightning Bolt, the Steven Seagal energy drink, in a magazine. But how else are you getting the word out to the people?
Well, Lightning Bolt is available in most popular grocery stores, 7-Elevens. Okay. But I am trying to get the word out. I'm advertising in magazines and also on television and radio. In fact, I'm advertising there at K-Rock.
You have
your radio station.
You have an ad on K-Rock now?
Not yet, but it will be airing
okay.
sometime later this week.
All right.
And I believe you have, I sent over the commercial there that we're going to be airing for the first time. You guys can play it on your show.
Fantastic.
So this is a commercial for your Lightning Bolt.
Lightning Bolt energy drink.
All right, here you go.
Hey, everybody. Lightning from the Kevin and Bean Morning Show here, and I'm here to talk about Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt energy drink. And with me on the phone is listener Steve. Steve, you actually tried Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt energy drink, right?
That's right, Lightning. I heard you talking about the fact that Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt energy drink contains Asian cordyceps and the Tibetan goji berry, two of the most rare and treasured botanicals used in Chinese and Tibetan medicine for thousands of years.
You didn't say
and
that.
And that it promoted energy, vitality, and longevity. So I just had to try it.
Wow. And how'd you like it?
Well, after I drank it, I was able to successfully battle terrorists on a boat and a train with my newly developed martial arts techniques and stop an evil oil corporation from desecrating sacred Indian burial grounds.
Right, wow.
Plus, I'm 8 years younger now than I was before I started drinking it. Oh, and now chicks really dig me, too.
Wow, and how long did you need to drink Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt Energy drink to get those results?
A month.
A month?
A month.
A month.
A month.
Whoa, Nelly! But what about the price?
Well, as you know, most other energy drinks cost thousands of dollars per can.
Sure.
But by switching to Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt energy drink, I was able to save over $4 million a year on my energy drink bill.
Incredible. Well, there you have it, folks. Not only will Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt energy drink give you incredible martial arts skills, make you younger, and drive the ladies crazy, but it'll save you millions of dollars a year. And that's not energy drink bogusness.
Lightning, I don't know what they're talking about. I can hear the bass in your voice just fine.
Oh, well, thanks, Steve.
Was that you, Steven?
No.
Was that you on the phone?
That was a listener named Steve.
That sounds just like you.
Lucky man.